ജയം വിഷുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജഗണാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണ അരവിന്ദ് ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കെ ജയം തേലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജഗാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കെ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്ത വൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമ കുണ്ടരാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
ഓം
അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാം തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോവിഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സുഭദാന്ദ്രിയം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീകലാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശം ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം ഹരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാം ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതീ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതീതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷഭാനുലി ദേവി തൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിത ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ നിയതാരിണി രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാപസിദ്ധാന്തധ്വാന്തഹാരിണി നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാദ് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായ തേ നമ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപഗൗരായ തേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം ദുർദേഷ്ടാസ ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാസർവഭൗമശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ തേ നമ വഞ്ചകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമേ ഗൗരദ്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താഭാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്രിയം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ സുരതോ മംഗോ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വദാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനോ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ത്രത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീമന്താദാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രഷ്ടാളിഭിഃ സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദാസരസാരംഭി വംശീപടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വനിർഗോപേർഗോപിനാഥാശ്രിയേ സ്തുന കൃതാഞ്ജന ഗൗരാംഗേ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരേ പ്രിയേ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವದಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಗ್ರದಿದಾಂ ಪುರಾಣ ಮುನಿನಾಂ ಮಧ್ಯೇ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣೀಂ ಭಗವತಿ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನೀಂ ಅಂಬ ತ್ವಾಮನುಸಂಧದಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೇ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣೀಂ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ರೇ ವ್ಯಾಸವಿಶಾಲಬುದ್ಧೇ ಕುಲಾರವಿಂದಾಯತ ಪತ್ರನೇತ್ರಾಂ ಯೇನ ತ್ವಯಾ ಭಾರತ ತೈಲಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ವಾಲಿತೋ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯ ಪ್ರದೀಪಾಂ ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಾರಿಜಾತಾಯ ತೋತ್ರವೇತ್ರೈಕ ಪಾಣಯೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತದುಹೇ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವೋಪನಿಷದೋ ಗಾವೋ ದುಗ್ಧಾ ಗೋಪಾಲನಂದನ ಪಾರ್ಥೋ ವಲ್ಸ ಸುಧೀರ್ಭೋಕ್ತಾ ದುಗ್ಧಂ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ಮಹತ್ ವಸುದೇವಸುಧಂ ದೇವಂ ಕಂಸಚ್ಚಾನೂರಮರ್ದನಂ ದೇವಗೀ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಂದೇ ಜಗದ್ಗುರುಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣದಡಾ ಜಯದ್ರದಜಲ ಗಾಂಧಾರ ನೀಲೋಲ್ಪಲ ಶಲ್ಯಗ್ರಾಹವದಿ ಕೃಪೇಣ ವಹನಿ ಕರ್ಣೇನ ವೇಲಾಕುಲ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಾಮಾ ವಿಗರ್ಣ ಘೋರಮಗರ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನಾವರ್ತಿನಿ ಸೋತೀರ್ಣ ಖಲುಪಾಂಡವೈರಣ ನದಿ ಕೈವರ್ತಕ ಕೇಶವ ಪಾರಾಶರ್ಯವಜ ಸರೋಜಮಮಲಂ ಗೀತಾರ್ಥ ಗಂಧೋಲ್ಕಟಂ ನಾನಾಖ್ಯಾನ ಗಗೇಸರಂ ಹರಿಕಥಾ ಸಂಬೋಧನಾ ಬೋಧಿತಂ ಲೋಕೈ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಶಲ್ಪದೈರಹರಹ ಪ್ರೇಪೀಯಮಾನಂ ಮುದಾ ಭೂಯಾದ್ ಭಾರತ ಪಂಕಜ ಕಲಿಮಲ ಪ್ರಧ್ವಂಸಿನ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋದಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಕುಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದಮಾಧವಂ ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾ ವರುಣೇಂದ್ರ ರುದ್ರಮರುದಸ್ತ್ವನ್ವಂದಿ ದಿವ್ಯೈಸ್ತವೈರ್ ವೇದೈರ್ ಸಂಗಪದೈರ್ ಕ್ರಮೌಪನಿಷದೈರ್ ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಸಮಗಾಃ ಧ್ಯಾನಾವಸ್ಥಿತ ತದ್ಗದೇನ ಮನಸೋ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನೋ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂದಂ ನ ವಿದುಸುರಾ ಸುರಗಣೈ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ
In this 18th chapter, Krishna is saying that what we discussed last Sunday, niyadastyattu sanyasa karmano nopavadyate mohal dasya parityagal tamasa parigurtida. That is that seventh verse. Krishna's point is that Niyati has put us in different situations in life. Niyati means destiny. That should never be given up. Point is that if one does that, what will happen is that he gives it up only because of illusion. That is Krishna's point. That Niyati, what comes to everyone in life, it is if one gives it up, making other arrangements, thinking that he is going to make a big change in life, Krishna is saying, is that kind of renunciation or giving up the duty is tamasam. Tamasik sannyasam it is. Tamasik sannyasam. Even remember, sannyasam also categorized into three. Sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam. Everything in the world is these three modes. Sattvika, rajasa, tamasam. Trigunam, in other words. So, trigunam, these three modes of material nature is present in everything in this world. Whatever we do, karmam, there is three modes of nature. Food, there is three modes of nature. Knowledge, three modes of nature. So, trigunyal bhinna vedam, bhavadihi bhuvane, hinam, madhyamam, uttam, jnanam, shraddha. Jnanam, shraddha, karta, chak, karma, jahara, vedaha. Karmam, aharam, in everything one will see these three modes present. And in sannyasam also these three modes are present. It is present in the food, it is present in the knowledge, it is present in the sannyasam also, these three modes of nature. That is why Krishna, when he mentions this, he is saying that the three modes of nature are present in the sannyasam, and that you can see the way the renunciation is done by the person. That will be the indication of that. How he has renounced the world. That will be a good indication of the type of sannyasam he has taken. That's the point Krishna is making in these three verses, which is the 7th, 8th and the 9th verses. In three verses, Krishna is saying to us that how sannyasam have come to him through modes of nature. Either through the mode of ignorance, or through the mode of passion, or through the mode of goodness. All the three modes, how it affects the sannyasa ashram, that's what is discussed there. So, when we mention that, I also mentioned there that Neyadastudu sannyasa tamasa parigirtida. If you try to escape from destiny and run away from there, thinking that I'll make alternate arrangements, then that is tamasam. That is tamasik sannyasam, that is. Which we discussed last Sunday, and the idea is that the one point I made, a very important point, that was that realized a person who is conscious and who is realized in the truth, who is fixed in the truth, the symptom of that person is nurti, not pravrti. Nurti is the symptom of person, and therefore his life also in a disciplined way like that, and that is the beauty of his life, that person's life. Therefore, Krishna said, yajnam dhanam tapas, that means the sacrifices, the charity and the austerities, all that what we do, if you give up that completely, that is not acceptable. Krishna is saying, it should never be given up at any point in time. In other words, they should not leave us, we should not leave them, they should leave us. That is the way it has to happen. We shouldn't leave them. Now what happens most of the times, we leave things, isn't it? To make, thinking that by changing the position or giving up things will come out okay. It won't come out okay. Reason being that the vasanas inside won't allow you to go away like that. So Krishna's point is that if a jnani, if you observe carefully, he will always in a state of nivrti. Pravrti and nivrti, you know what it means. Pravrti means the tendency to get entangled in the world. That's pravrti. Nivrti means always looking for freeing oneself from the world. That's nivrti. Person in a nivrti nature, not escaping, running away from that. Not in that way. Nivrti and pravrti, that difference we have to know very well. Nivrti is always, he knows what he wants in life. That means he's always fixed in the truth, fixed in the knowledge, fixed in the self, what he is. He knows his position, that I am spirit, I am soul, I have nothing to do with this body, I have no contact with the matter, I have no contact with the material energy. In that way, because of his inward, internal realization, he will free himself all the time from this world. He will move away. That means none of the things in the world has any interaction with him. He will be freeing himself from that. Pravrti means one who gets involved in everything and gets completely entangled in everything. That also another nature of the person. So, Jnani's nature is always Nivritti, not Pravritti. Pravritti is that attachment, and due to the, for them is one Krishna spoke this Karma Yoga in the beginning. If you are so much into Pravritti, entanglement in this world, you are finding attracted by the beauty of this creation, getting attracted by the name, fame, followers, money, and all other things in this world, that is Pravritti. That comes from Pravritti. So if it goes in that direction, Krishna is saying the escape route is Karma Yoga. That he explained that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Nyasinamiha karmasu, he says. Those who are attached to karmam, those who are attached to the activities of this world, nyasinamiha karmasu. He says, to come out from that, Karma Yoga is spoken. If you remember, when Krishna says to Uddhava, there are three processes, karmam, jnanam and bhakti. Who is qualified for what? He explains that. There he is saying that those who are attached to work, attached to karma in this world, who is into the pravritti, for them karma yoga is necessary. Those who are attached to, not attached to the body, not attached to this world, who already have a high degree of detachment and renunciation in this world, jnana margam will work for them. And those who are not able to give up things, at the same time they also realize that there is not much of a truth in this world, for them Bhakti Yogam will work. So in these three categories Krishna has spoken that. So here, as we gave this example, like the case of a coconut, when the coconut is fully dry, the pulp inside, it separates itself from the shell. Is it not? It separates from the shell. When it leaves like that, then you can, it will not be sticking to the shell anymore. So, similarly, these vasanas inside, karma vasana inside, has to leave us on its own. And we on our own, if you give it up, you will have problems later. That you will see in later life what happens to such people. So, and similarly, certain things in spiritual life also, you will find sometimes that people, due to some inconveniences in life, either health reasons or due to changes in way of life, due to disturbances in life or something, that you will find that it is giving you some trouble in life. You are unable to perform sadhana in life. Even chanting the holy name becomes difficult. In such a situation, what will happen? That is what we mentioned last time, we were talking about that. What is Rajasam? Rajasa Sanyasam. What does that mean? That is the next verse. We are looking at that. Dukkham ityeva yal karmam. Kaya klesha bhaya tyajet. That's the eighth verse. Sakratva rajasam tyagam. Naiva tyagavalam labhet. Krishna is saying that dukkham ityeva yal karmam. Kaya klesha bhaya tyajet. Sakratva rajasam tyagam. Naiva tyagavalam labhet. He's saying, Krishna is saying there, that we are worried about the after effect of that sacrifice. You have decided to give up something, what you are doing in spiritually as a form of sadhana or some spiritual karma, yajnam, dhanam, tapas, all of them. If you decided to give it up, by some reason, by fear of this, by fear of kaya klesha. Kaya klesha means bodily difficulty. The bodily difficulty, if you decided to give it away, stop it, doing that, that is Rajasam. Rajasa Tyagam it is. So, Dukkham idi evayal karmam, kaya klesha bhayad, sharira dukkha bhayad, tyajet paritajet sakratva rajasam, rajo nurvurtyam, tyagam na eva tyagavalam, jnana purvagasya, sarva karma tyagasya, mokshakhyam na labhed eva labheda. So, the problem with that is, because of his absorption in the body and because of the effort required from the bodily platform, bodily level, he gives up karma, any sadhana for that matter, or any physical inconveniences due to that. If he gives up anything like that, that is rajasam. Krishna says that is rajasam. And the problem with that is,
Remember Krishna mentioned earlier Sarvakarma Bhalatyagam. Remember that? The Sarvakarma Bhalatyagam he mentioned in the, which verse was that? That was the second of, yeah, in the second verse. Second verse he mentioned there. So, Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam Sanyasam Kavayo Vidu, while talking about the Sanyasam and Sarvakarma Bhalatyagam. The problem with this is, you won't get the same benefit of Sarvakarma Bhalatyagam. That means giving up your karmam and receiving that benefit from that. That you won't get it if you give up that under Rajasam. That is the disadvantage. Rajasatyagam. That means in the mode of passion, if you give up the karmam, mode of passion, if you give up the karmam, sadhana, or yajnam, dhanam, tapas, whatever it may be, if you give it up, the result will be that you won't get the benefit of this Sarvakarma Bhalatyagam which Krishna has spoken before. Because Sarvakarma Bhalatyagam was the process for those who are not situated fixed in knowledge, who have a lot of karma vasana inside. For them, Sarvakarma Bhalatyagam was spoken. But Sarvakarma Bhalatyagam will not have its desired result if one he gives this karmam under the effect of Rajasam, Rajasic nature. Kapuna Satvya Tagaha. So then in that case, what is Satvya Tyagam? That question will come. That question will come. So in practically, in life, you can see this happening in people's life in many, many instances. Rajasatyagam. Tamasatyagam is there very much. And Rajasatyagam also you can observe in people's life. So, one example they have given is this, that some person, he wanted to have his daughter married, for which requires a lot of expenditure, money, everything. And it was causing difficulties at home. Husband, wife and the family members, they were always discussing this about that. So, in that system, that for the daughter's marriage, he was not able to acquire sufficient finances, what was necessary for the marriage. So, what he decided, that he could not handle it anymore, the pressure at home, he decided to leave home, walk away from the home, to give up that responsibility. He thought he couldn't manage it for the money, and the situation was getting very difficult at home. So, a lot of struggle in his life. And he finally decided that I leave home and stay in some holy place, become a sannyasi and live like that in the rest of the life. He went away like that. So, now and then, naturally he has left home in the Rajasic way. So naturally people from villages will ask him about it, and he used to tell them that, don't talk to me about the marriage, you can talk to me anything else except the marriage, he used to say to them. So what he did was, in order to escape from that problem at home about this marriage issue, that he took sannyasam for that purpose. Did he get the benefit of that sannyasam? That is the question here, isn't it? Because purpose of sannyasam is this, that you have to have realization from that, of the knowledge of the self has to happen. Or we can say in the Krishna consciousness, or able to free yourself from the clutches of maya and from the influence of body. But he has done that only because he couldn't continue his activities at home, because of the situation at home turned out to be like that. So Krishna is saying here, because he has done like that, he uses the word here, naiva tyaga balam labhed, he says here. See that? The last line. Naiva tyaga balam labhed. He will not get the benefit of that tyagam, because that tyagam sacrifice is in Rajasam. It is done in Rajasam. So tyagam means sacrificing something. The result is supposed to be unlimited from the tyagam, because because once you have given up then the moment you leave things, you are supposed to become infinite. Is it not? Because what you are sacrificing is that your body and the mind, eventually you are disconnecting from that inside. Not the body drops away. Inside you are disconnecting from the body and the mind. So what is the benefit from that? That means you are identifying yourself never with the body anymore, but more with the consciousness, permanent everywhere, all-pervasive consciousness, or you are becoming unlimited. No more with limited to this temporary material body and the mind. So one who has given up everything, in reality, he is becoming unlimited. You are giving up your limited situation present beside the body and the mind, and of course all the other things in this world. But the after effect of all that is you are becoming unlimited. Isn't it? Unlimited means that you are no more in identification with the body, but rather identification, pure consciousness, which is all pervading and present everywhere in everyone, to the truth. So that is what is happening. Everything you have given up, but you have become unlimited. That is what should happen in sannyasam. Sannyasam is not a simple change of clothes. Sannyasam is a state of consciousness that you become unlimited naturally. So he is losing his personality here, but on the other hand, he is becoming an unbroken, unlimited thing. Isn't it? He is losing his personality. Personality is limited to body. That finishes there. Because he has given up the connection with the body and the mind, and he has freed himself from the grip of the body and the mind, he has become unlimited. Akhandata, they call it. Akhandatvam comes to him. So one who has given up like this, he did not become that. Instead, what he has done, he has given up this karmam, vasana inside he had, and also that Krishna has put him in that situation for some reason. Not for any other reason, so that he becomes properly pakvam, matured in that way in life. Face that music and become matured that way. That was the idea behind it. But instead of facing that situation, he tried to run away from there. But at the same time, because he ran away, externally he has become a sannyasi. Internally, he has not become a sannyasi. Internally, he is in the rajasic mode. He has done that work. You see that subtlety of that. So what has happened now is that he has gone and become a sannyasi, changed the clothes, everything. But inside it is causing problem. Inside it is causing problem for him. So then after somehow the other, due to the way the destiny works in this world, the daughter got married. In course of time she got married. Somehow or the other it happened. So he comes back to the house again. He comes back to the house again. What is the reason? Because he has taken sannyasa for that period because of the problem at the time in his life. So when he comes back home, people asked him, why did you come back? What happened to your sannyasam? He says, his answer was, what does it matter? Wherever you are to be a sannyasi, isn't it? He says. So this is how sannyasam is these days. A lot of people do this kind of mistake. So the problem is that he has done that out of kaya klesha bhayad. What Krishna uses that word there? Kaya klesha bhayad. That means he realized that it is too much hassle, problem for me in life. I can't handle it. So he took sannyasam. That is not allowed. That is rajasam. Out of fear for the family problems, or out of fear for responsibility. Responsibility means that he has built up inside. Instead, what Krishna expects a person to do is to face that, whatever happens in life. Suppose everything won't happen according to our plan in life. But whatever happens, still able to accept it as Krishna's prasadam and live with that. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. Bhakti is not running away from the thing. Whatever situation Krishna has put us in, whatever problems comes to us, so many problems can come. This marriage and all is only one of them. It can happen with the body tomorrow. Body can give away. Body could be in serious problems. Separation can happen in life, with family life, isn't it? So many problems can happen in family life. But in spite of all that, when things happen like that, taking sannyasam is not the solution. That's what Krishna is saying. Kaya klesha bhayad. That's the word he uses there. Kaya klesha bhaya tejet, he says. People do that all the time. They'll have a problem at home, they'll fight with parents or mother or father, and then they go and join some ashram and become a sannyasi next. And you won't find out, much later you will come to know that he has left home because of all the problems at home. That is not proper. That's not sannyasam. Kaya klesha bhaya tejet, Krishna is saying there. That is rajasam. That is rajasam. Krishna has put us in this world in different situations. Material nature knows why we are there. She has put us in, she become matured by dealing with that situation, and in that way getting beaten everywhere, we will come to our senses and you will become properly Krishna conscious. Otherwise you won't. It's not a theory that you can learn from the book and become Krishna conscious tomorrow. It won't happen. It only happens this way, and if it happens this way, only it will stay. Otherwise you will fall. You will fall from there. That's what Krishna is saying. So earlier we have seen that some people don't want to take that trouble. Kaya klesha bhaya tejen. Don't want any trouble in life. Life wants to be very smooth and easy going, isn't it? So they think the ideal thing is I become a sannyasi, then there is nobody to bother me. So if we do saying this, so I can't do it and I give it up, that is not sacrifice. That's the point Krishna is making. That's not sacrifice. So tamasatyagam Krishna has spoken in the last verse. Now Krishna is saying of the rajasatyagam. So similarly, things what we have to do in life, we have to do in life. For example, that all the anushtanam, what we spoke about, we're getting up in the morning and engaging in spiritual life for a certain period of time, whatever we have decided to do, chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, doing the deity worship, and observing the important days, Ekadashi and so on, and similarly engaging in satsangam. All these things, if one has decided, one should not give it up after a while, thinking that, oh, it's too much hassle, I can't do it. That's not good. That's what Krishna is saying. If you give it up, it is rajasam. Because of the bodily problems, thinking that, oh, I can't do it, and giving it up. So that is, and neva karmanushtanam. Last verse, niyadasyadu sannyasam, previous verse. Krishna is saying, niyadasyadu sannyasam karmano nopa badyade mohal tasya parityagam tamasa parikirtida. Earlier he said that due to that tamasic nature, niyadasyadu sannyasam parityag karmano nopa badyade yajnasya pavanatyasya ishtatval mohal ajnanal tasya niyadasya parityagaha. He is saying here that this tyagam, this kind of tyagam, tyagam means sacrifice, and sannyasam, they don't go together. They don't go together. Because it's done due to illusion, moham, he says. Mohal tasya parityagal. Due to moham, he has done that. Moham means illusion, and illusion due to ajnanam, avidya inside. And therefore, that is not acceptable. That is that kind of renunciation, tyagam, other kind of renunciation is denied, is not approved, is not approved. Niyadam tu avashyam kartavyam tyajyade cha idi vipradishiddha ado moha nimitaha parityagaha tamasa parigirtidaha moha cha tama iti kimcha. So nityakarma means this, what we have to do every day what we have to do, and if it is our responsibility, our duty to do it, if you give up that, then it is a problem, isn't it? And that is where, due to moham, due to illusion, if you give it up, this moham is illusion is due to ajnana. Ajnana means avidya. Avidya we have built up inside several lifetimes. It's built up inside all of us. We have this avidya inside. And plus our other things like education and other things has actually magnified it more. Aparavidya, avidya. So aparavidya is created this avidya inside, and that avidya is ajnanam, which turns into moham, illusion, and that develops into this kind of tyagam,
or renunciation. That's what Krishna is saying here. First he spoke about Tamasa Sannyasam. Now he spoke about the Rajasa Sannyasam. So in this Rajasa, so when there is difficulty physically to do things like that, if a stage comes you can't do it, then that's what Krishna has put us into. We have to accept that. There's nothing you can do about it. So every moment in life is a training to surrender to Krishna. That is how, that is the process. Everything what Krishna gives to us, accepting it, that is surrender, not going against it. If you try to counteract that, then you are doing the mistaken. You are doing the wrong thing. That's what Krishna mentions here. In this. So, because of sharirim means body, bodily problems, that I can't do this, I can't do that, I give up, I can't do this, but still able to do it, but giving up because it is struggle, that is rajasam or tamasatyagam. But instead, because due to the fear of the body, attachment to the body, or finding it difficult to discuss the problem with others, what the problem is. And in the life, there will be so many problems. From all sides, problems can come. And why Krishna puts all these problems in front of us? Because Krishna wants to beat us and make us, bring us into that state so that we become proper Krishna conscious. Otherwise it won't happen. So instead if you think that, oh, why Krishna is giving me so much trouble and run away from that, that's not the solution. If you do that, Krishna is saying that is Rajasa Tyagam. It is not Satyagya Tyagam. So there is so many interesting stories about this in the history of the devotees. Lot of interesting stories. Then, so one interesting story which is among the Maharashtrian sayings is this. Malsendranath and Goraknath, they were there. Malsendranath was a great spiritual master. They all lived at the same, more or less the same time, like the Jnaneshwar, Namadev, Tukaram, in that same period of time. That is around 1500 in that year's time. Malsendranath was a famous personality. Malsendranath's disciple was this Goraknath. Goraknath used to be his disciple. So one day, Malsendranath's one disciple was sent to Goraknath. Goraknath was his disciple, Malsendranath's disciple. So Malsendranath, one young boy came up to him and told him that I want to be with you, want to become your disciple. Malsendranath said to him, I have one devotee living few miles away from here, Goraknath. You go to him and stay with him. And stay with him, he said. Now this Goraknath, what he used to do, his service was he used to wash clothes. That's how he made his living for others. He used to wash his clothes. So this young little lad who came, he was not very clean. So Malsendranath told Goraknath that you clean him up properly and make him proper in his clothes and cleanliness. So when he went there, Goraknath was washing the clothes. When this boy came, Goraknath was washing the clothes. So Malsendranath told him, just like the way you clean the clothes and make it clean, you clean him up like that, in the way he said. So the same thing he did with the clothes. He did that with the boy. He nicely washed him and smacked him heavily and told him that he had remained clean. And later on it seems that the boy was really beaten so badly. But later on Malsendranath came and sorted it out, because he had that capacity to do that. So he has told Goraknath that you clean him up, but Goraknath took it literally, like the way I clean the clothes, I have to clean him as well, and gave him a hard time. But Malsendranath sorted it out. So doing things like that without understanding properly, doing things, in other words, that the effect of all those things, after effect of all those things, will not be proper. So in this, why we are saying this story, this little incident is that karma, if you give it up due to illusion, which is called the moham, if you give it up that, then, or klesham, due to bodily difficulties, problems with the body, these things would go in the wrong way. these things will go in the wrong way. That is why these two verses are important. This Nirastha Sanyasam, that verse. Nirastha Sanyasam Karmano Nopa Badhyade Mohal Tasya Parityagam Tamasa Parigirtida. That one. And he said, Dukkamityeva Yal Karmam Kaya Klesha Bhayate Jed Sakritva Rajasam Tyagam Naiva Tyagavalam Labhed. Both verses are trying to tell us, if you are taking to sannyasa ashram, it should not be based on tamasam or rajasam, it should be in sattvigam. Otherwise that sannyasam will also fail. This is the strong warning in that. These two verses are to explain to us that if you take the sannyasam under tamasam or rajasic reasons, tamasic reasons he has mentioned, isn't it? Niyadasya sannyasam, that means Krishna has put us in a niyati, a destiny has been given to us, and you've gone against that. You have completely rejected that, saying that I know better than Krishna, that attitude. Krishna has put us in a situation for some reason. Pragati has put us in a situation for some reason. I reject that and I make my own plans and go and do things. That is what that is, tamasam. Rajasam means the duty what one has to do in spiritual life, nivrti, nityakarmam. For example, waking up in the morning, sadhana, bhagavadam, salsangam, prasadam, everything has to have some disciplined life. Giving up all that because it's too much a struggle. That is rajasam. So either way, whether you give it up through tamasam or through rajasam, it will fail. That's a warning. It will be fail. So, then the question comes also, then what is satyugam? See, now, that is the next thing that comes from there. So, here what you have to understand is this, that this incident when Krishna mentions there, that intention behind that is to acknowledge this, that Krishna has put us in this situation because we are not matured in spiritual life properly. Properly not ripened the fruit. Therefore, even in life you can see all the sadhana what you want to do, you can't do it. Can you? You can't do it. so, actually sadhana is, there is only one thing. Chanting is another side of that. Side of that. So, all what is expected from all this is that when problems comes in life, able to open up our heart and speak to the Antaryami inside. To say to the Antaryami that I have so many problems in life. I have so many problems in life. And I have all these problems, and but through going through all these problems make me mature spiritually. This one prayer is necessary for us to in our spiritual life. This one prayer. Let the problems come, but in all the situations, to say to Krishna, to make me mature properly in spiritual life. This is the sadhana. This is the, to get to that point, we have to chant the holy name. But if one comes to this stage, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see these things clearly. That all the devotees are saying to Krishna, that you have to control my life. I can't do it myself. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what is the right thing, first of all. Every moment we have to become conscious of that. And repeatedly saying to Krishna, Antaryami inside, that you have to control my life in such a way so that I become ripened properly to advance in the path of spiritual life. That is what Krishna is saying in all these verses. This tamasatyagam, sannyasam, moksham, all these things is centered around this principle. So, there will be a lot of distress will come in life, problems will come in life. So, but you have to deal with that for my, not that solve my problem, but prepare me in such a way that I come out of it with advanced in the spiritual path. That's the goal. So, because I don't know how I should be, first of all. What Krishna wants us to be, we don't even know that. So, the way He wants us to be, He has to prepare us in that way. That is the message in this. So very subtle principle in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is saying to us that the, okay, all this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and all in a in a level that you can intellectually analyze it, intellectually study it. But what happened to our life at the end? That's a big question, isn't it? You may have studied the Bhagavad Gita, all the verses and all the translations, purports, everything. But at the end of the life, what has happened to my life in this world? What did I gain from this? How far Bhagavad Gita, I have been profited by this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita? Not intellectually, but in my realizations. So, life will go through in this world and all problems will come. And Krishna will put us in so many difficulties from various sides. And whenever these problems come, we start asking Krishna, why you have put me into this? There is no question of asking this, why you have put me in this situation. He knows why he has put us into this situation. Because otherwise, our ego won't leave us. Our ego won't leave us. So that ego, to move away from that platform of ego and get that freedom from that, this is that surrender. How surrender happens? That is why this surrender is in Krishna's hands, not in our hands. I can wander around in the world saying, I'm surrendered, but that doesn't make it happen. Surrender happens when Krishna wants that to happen. And in that process, Krishna will do it gradually. He knows us every moment how this, situated inside the heart of everyone as Antaryami, he knows what is required for our spiritual progress. Only thing is, you don't go against it. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything else. Everything else he will do it, but as long as you don't go against it and start doing things. And this is the principle. Just like you can see when a baby is born, what does the baby do first? Cries. It cries. And the help comes. Is it not? The help comes straight away. Now if you ask the question, is this crying a sadhana? It is a sadhana, isn't it? So the first thing the baby did after the baby was born is to cry. Simply to cry. Isn't it? So, and baby doesn't know that he has got a father or mother. He hasn't got a clue, isn't it? Baby, he or she, whatever it is, doesn't have a clue that he has got a father and mother. She simply cried, isn't it? So, when the baby cried, the help has come. Automatically the help has come. So, first thing, what did the baby do? It cried, isn't it? So, who was he addressing to? The baby. While crying, normally you are addressing to somebody, isn't it? So only thing is, when there is a distress in life, in the baby's life, because baby was feeling hungry, or baby was feeling uncomfortable in life, so many things with the new body, what he or she has acquired, that is not, just like when you put new clothes on, you don't feel comfortable sometimes, isn't it? Till you feel comfortable with that, like to put the shoes on, the same thing. Similarly, when you get a new body also, you don't feel sometimes comfortable. You feel a lot of inconveniences. So, but that expression of that baby's discomfort is that crying and addressing to Krishna. Shabda Brahma, it's called. So, actually, that is why baby's crying is considered to be Shabda Brahma. It is directly addressing the truth for help. For help. Expression of the self. The self is expressing there that I need help. And don't know whom to ask. But asking. Can you imagine a state like that? We are also in the same situation. We are thinking to whom to ask, we don't know. But we have to ask. We have to ask. But, so if you give attention to a baby crying, you can immediately observe this in life. It's not much different than our situation. So, So that crying, what babies are doing, is what we are doing with chanting. That's all it is. Just like the baby is crying, but baby is because doesn't know any name to address and doesn't know whom to ask. Baby is in a difficult situation. But the devotee's crying is nothing but asking for help. And that's the only thing while chanting should be in our mind. That I am suffering in this world and you have to do what you have to do with me to prepare me properly in such a way that these miseries of material life do not come and destroy my life in this world. That, in other words, that to prepare us in the spiritually, that is preparation in spiritual life. That is the way Krishna prepares every one of us in spiritual life. So, and when that happens, when we chant the holy name, you will notice that things will happen from then on, all the arrangements, what's necessary, and whichever way we have to become mature, accordingly, that power will do the things necessary on us, for us, will do the necessary things for us. Only thing is, you have to arrange, allow that to happen. You should not come blocking that. Where you start putting your intelligence and mind and planning, everything happens. Then the whole thing collapses. Whole thing collapses. That means you can't put any preconditions to that. Munviti, they call it. You don't put any preconditions to that. That, oh, I want it like this. You will never see Krishna will do anything what you want to do. Want it to be done in that way. So, in other words, suppose I start saying to Krishna, I want to be like this in my life, everything according to my plan, that will not happen. That will not happen. Whichever way you ask Krishna to bless you, Krishna won't bless you in that way. That's not how it works, isn't it? And the way He blesses you, you have to accept it in that way. That is the way spiritual life goes. Krishna won't bless you with the way you want Him to bless you. Krishna will bless you in His own way. In the Bhagavatam, that is what you find. You will see there, throughout Bhagavatam, and no one devotee was blessed in the same way like another devotee. And no one devotee was killed in the same, demon was killed in the same way like another demon. That also you will notice in the Bhagavatam. No one devotee was blessed in the same way as another devotee, and no one demon was killed in the same way as another demon. That is why you will see there's a famous expression about Krishna. Vijitra rupa tavakhalu anugraha. Vijitra rupam it is. How Krishna's mercy comes and blessing comes, or how Krishna's Krishna's punishment comes. Vijitra rupam tavakhalu anugraha. His mercy is vijitram. It's nobody understands that. There are so many incidents in the Bhagavatam to go through that. We'll discuss it later. So, whichever way Krishna gives that grace or kripa, mercy, everything to accept that it is His mercy, and we'll have to accept it without any complaint about that. Without any complaint about that. In our mind, we will have a lot of concepts about life, isn't it? How it should be. Like we always make these plans in life. At the age of 50, I want to retire. Then I must have a good pension. Then the rest of the life, I'll be busy with my spiritual life, or I'll go on holidays and this, that. So many plannings will go on in the head. That's not what Krishna's instruction is. Krishna is saying to us, only when we understand this principle, that Krishna puts us in situation in life, sometime good, sometime bad, does not matter. In all situations, able to accept it without any preconditions or without any complaints, that's bhakti. That is bhakti. If this principle is what Krishna is saying here, so anything what Krishna gives us, surrendering to that. Just like you've seen this, you must have seen this in India particularly, they have this sugarcane juice. There's a machine there with a big gears, big 4 or 5 wheels. And this man who is selling this sugarcane juice on the roadside, what he does, he takes a huge sticks of this sugar cane and he starts feeding from one side. And you'll take the life out of it, isn't it? 3-4 times. It has already come out everything, juice from that. Still, he will keep putting it through that to get every single drop out of it, isn't it? Similarly, in the same way, that our life is like that. Our life is like that. If you think in that way, that it will take a while to get that sweetener from this life. And in order to get that sweetness from this life, you have to go through the gears, through the gear wheel. And Krishna will put us through that before we start experiencing what real happiness. So in the same way, Krishna is also doing the same thing with us. He puts us through all these difficulties in life, suffer a lot, all kinds of problems from all sides in life. And you will become more and more conscious that this life cannot be fixed. Just like you realize with the body, you keep cleaning this body throughout life, is it not? Washing, cleaning, putting perfumes, and going to the gym, and to exercising it, this, that, and the other. Everything to make this body perfect. Finally, what do you realize? Nothing can be done with this body. The same thing with life also. It's the same thing with life also. Equally the same thing. You keep on trying, and finally you realize it. Life cannot be fixed. Because if it happens that way, vairagyam will come. That is the advantage. Vairagyam. Then you don't want to come back to this world to enjoy again. That desire will go from inside, number one. Same problem while changing the world also. Initially, Krishna will tell, everybody tells us, go on preaching, changing the whole world, this, that and the other. But you keep on doing this, after a whole lifetime, you will realize that this world cannot be changed. It cannot be fixed. To come to that conclusion, you have to go through this. That you have to do all this and finally realize it. You cannot do anything about this world. And best thing is that leave it to themselves. I go my way, let the world go its way. This realize, but that realization to happen, you have to go through this. It won't be understood. Because initially, everyone has so much enthusiasm and initiative to control and change and fix this place, isn't it? It can never be fixed. You fix one side, the other side will start trouble. Something else will go on there. So, by doing all these things, the world cannot be fixed. The life cannot be fixed. The body cannot be fixed. Trying to find perfection in all these places is wrong. That is the first message. In the Upadhi Mandalam, in the Sharira Mandalam, it is not possible. It is not possible. So, but once you have accepted this, everything in life, what Krishna has given, and you will see that if you have agreed and accepted it, in due course of time, you will become mature. That is the advantage from that. And then start realizing the sweetness of the soul. Sweetness of what this Atma is all about. The sweetness of the soul. Swarupa Madhuryam. Swarupa means the beauty of the self, what is inside. And that shanti, peace, from the Atma will start manifesting in a person. You can see this in many, many places. Many, many people. They don't do any sadhana, but they have this knowledge in them. Therefore, what happens in their life? You will see them a properly matured person at the end of their life. Accepted everything in life as it. So many difficulties that come in their life from all sides. And they have lived with that, accepting that without complaints. And that is their perfection in life. And therefore, what happens is the false ego goes away. The false ego what we have will disappear in that process. So, in order to give up that false ego, we should not jump out of our life. Because this is where in life, that where that false ego gets properly treated. The disease of false ego gets properly treated in the life. Suppose you jump out of this life, oh, it's all too much hassle, too much trouble. And if you try to jump out of it, then it will not work. Instead, what is required is how to face it, that situation in life. And one has to know that. In order to do that, the knowledge is necessary. Knowledge of the self is necessary. And if that knowledge of the self develops in a person, in a very natural way, that false ego will leave him. It is due to lack of knowledge only the false ego builds up in a person. Nothing else. It's due to lack of knowledge. So, and that is what Krishna is saying here, is the proper sannyasa. You see? That is what Krishna calls it as sannyasam. That means the knowledge of the self, Atma, knowledge of the self has built up inside to such levels that his false ego has completely withered away from inside. And that is that sannyasam is the goal here, what he is talking about. So the name of this chapter itself is sannyasam, isn't it? Moksha Sannyasa Yogam. But sannyasam is not what you do. That is not what sannyasam means. It is a very interesting conversation that you will see this happening among the great personalities. That a great devotee, he mentions this like this, that I was mentioning about this book, Voice of God, that book's translation was going on. Ganapati, who did that translation, he was discussing this with Chandrasekhara Saraswati at this time, at one time when he was writing that. So, he was mentioning there that what do we say about this? That means this life, what we live in this world, with the idea of maturing, you said you call it a spiritual life, for example. You call it as spiritual life, isn't it? So, he mentions there, spiritual life is all about only one thing. What is that? Surrendering. Surrendering to who? Surrendering to Krishna's decision. What is Krishna's decision? Whatever he throws at you in life. That's Krishna's decision. Because you can't blame others for all the miseries what's happening in life. That's Krishna is throwing at us. He has put you in a particular situation, but we, due to our ajnanam, thinks he is the doer, somebody else is responsible, or wife is the reason, or husband is the reason, children are the reason. None of them are the reason. We are the reasons ourselves. In order to prepare us, Krishna has put us all in together in one pot and told us that you get matured in that situation. Whether it's husband or wife, parents or children, whatever it may be. So, we have some karmam to go through that. And that karmam is necessary, prarabdham is necessary to make us to mature, ripen in that way. So, he gave this analysis and said that surrendering is the necessary for that. Surrendering is necessary for that. But that time, Chandrasekhar Saraswati told him, but you can't do that, he said. He has to do it. This is how they see it. Such a great personality who knew so much about Shastram, so much about Vedantam, so much about spiritual life, his conclusion was this. He says to him, to Ganapati, he told him that it is not in your hands. He has to put you through. So you can see that when Krishna wants that to happen, what we want is from Krishna's side, Krishna has to make that decision to put us into that proper proper conditioning or whatever that is called. That power only knows what kind of conditioning is necessary for us. And what is that stopping from that happening? What stopping that is our own pride. Our own pride. Or our preconditions. It has to happen in this way. That is pride. If I say to Krishna, you have to do all these things in this way so that I will become mature in spiritual life, that is not going to happen. It will never happen like this. Krishna will do things his own way. And accepting that without any preconditions, without any prejudice, and without any pride inside, and then it will happen. It will happen. You can see, if you look at all the great devotees, this is what you find, including Prabhupada's life. Isn't it? Prabhupada was making a lot of plans in life in the early days. He was thinking that I'll do retire at this age and I'll have enough money by then I'll preach Krishna consciousness and all that. Nothing happened in that way. The whole thing happened in completely opposite way. The whole business collapsed. Whole family broke up and all went in different directions. Just like in the middle of the deep sea, you're thrown into a situation. That's what happened to him. And then he realized it, that if you read that last song he wrote while he was traveling in the Jaladuta boat, he said, I learned enough in life. And all that, where is that family, he says, which I was caring for so seriously? Where is all that business what I have struggled and built up? Where is that gone? No business, no money, no family. All finished with that. And then Krishna has... So Krishna's way of doing things is always different. And with every devotee, he knows what is needed for that person to. And that you can't question that. That means you don't put any preconditions. You don't keep any prejudices. And you don't keep your pride. If all these things go away, then Krishna knows what is good for us and what is necessary. At that time it will happen. So, and if you surrender in that way, that if you live in that way, that is what Krishna is saying. Ishvara sarvabhudanam, that is the meaning of that verse. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yandrarudhani mayaya. This is what that means. When that word is saying, what do? We study that word, memorize it, and then we tell others, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. We ourselves are not accepting that. But we are telling everybody else, Brahmin sarvabhudani yandrarudhani maya. That is why straight after the verse you can see that if you have agreed with everything what Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, and if you are willing to go along with it, and without any pride inside, if you accept what Krishna has spoken, which means you are accepting that Antaryami's decision from inside, and then he knows how you should become mature, that he knows. Antaryami knows inside the way you have to become pakkvam. Pakkvam means mature, and he will make you pakkvam and he will make you perfect in that way. All devotees said this after they have come to that state. Ramana Maharshi said this, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa said this, Vivekananda said it, Prabhupada said this. All of them have said this one thing, that they didn't know what they were going to, what was going to happen. They haven't got a clue what was going to happen. But their success was, at every point they accepted this principle. Whichever way Krishna has put us, they put them in different situations, all of them had to go through. And finally, they all agreed with this one point, they came to the agreement that that's not in our hands, it's done and decided by somebody else. That power whom we address as Krishna, he has taken that decision. And if we do that, that is perfection, Purnada it's called. That Purnada, if you have to agree with that, first thing. And developing this understanding in life is very, very important. Simply doing sadhana without knowing any of these things is useless. You may keep on doing, like a work it becomes then. Is it not? That's no good. More important than that is acceptance of all these things inside, which is not so easy. Is it not? When Krishna puts us on the spot, then what? Suddenly our nature changes. We ask Krishna, why have you put us into this situation? That why doesn't come up? Why has no meaning? He knows what he is doing. We don't have to ask him why. But because we are so much on the identity with the body and feeling our ego has been hurt, or feeling that I am the body, body is not mine, body is not meant for enjoyment. It's a combination of philosophy that is. I'm not this body is Vedantam. Body is not mine is Sankhyam. It is. So body is not for meant for enjoyment is the freedom that one is experiencing in that state. So you can see this, if you keep on applying this into one's own life, you will notice this, that freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses develop gradually in life. It does not happen overnight. Gradually you will start experiencing that freedom within one's own life, one will start, and then you will start appreciating what Krishna is saying here in these verses. So the only sadhana what we have to do is actually surrendering to that Antaryami inside. That is the most important sadhana, more important than even chanting the holy name. Because even if you chant the holy name, if surrender is not there, there is no bhakti there. It becomes a mechanical thing. So sharanagati, or that surrendering to Krishna every moment in life and accepting that whatever Krishna has put us in, able to accept it without questioning Krishna, without questioning the decision of the material nature, able to accept that way, that is surrender and that is bhakti. That is bhakti. Bhakti's key element is not knowledge, bhakti's key element is surrender. Jnanam depends on shraddha, bhakti depends on surrender. Bhakti depends on surrender. So not to go against that, whatever way the material nature has put us in, and that is all what is expected from us. That knows very well, that power, material nature knows very well how to prepare us for self-realization, isn't it? And it is continuously working on all of us all the time, through this body, through the mind, and through our life in this world. It's working. You can see that. It's working on its own way. It is preparing us for that eventuality when we leave this body. So, and then according to our prarabdham, that will happen easily or it may take longer time. It's the prarabdham that is causing this delay to a large extent. Prarabdham comes in the form of this abhimanam also, pride also, and this tendency to stop everything and to go against Krishna's decision or wish or surrender is all due to prarabdham. Prarabdham is holding it back. You can see that in the case of Jadabharata and many others. Also the same thing. So suppose I make the decision, I don't want to live in the way I'm living at the moment, and I don't want it, and I'm starting imagining in my mind another life somewhere, a better life than what I'm having here. In imagination, you will see so many things in life, is it not? So, if you keep on imagining like that, to live that life, you will have to accept another birth. That is the damage, what we are doing. So many people do imagining things, isn't it? That they will imagine in their mind, because that is becoming a vasana inside, that, oh, this life is no good, maybe I should have a better life somewhere else, in some other place in the world, enjoying this, enjoying that. All kinds of ideas comes into our head, is it not? So, another life, or if I get married in this way to this person, and then that married life will be happy together, we'll have plenty of money, we'll have a comfortable life, we'll have good children, they will all come up, and I'll be comfortable in my society. This is all imagination in the head. If we cultivate this kind of mentality, you will have to accept another body and come here to continue with this vasana inside. This is how vasana builds up inside, how dangerous it is. You can see that. Instead, if we accept that in life, whatever Krishna has given to us, it is due to my prarabdham I am living in this world, in this way, and willingly surrendering to that fate, what has been thrown at us, accepting that, and live that life, you will get purified. That's the benefit from that. That means this bhavana, imaginations, will stop inside. Karma vasana will go away. So, what happens is, when you develop this imagination in the mind about a future, good, happy life somewhere else, next life or something, you can see that that kind of life, what you are imagining, it's not approved in this life. There is no department in this life where you have got that chance. So therefore Krishna is saying here that he will give you another chance to come back, because you have imagined something else better than this, isn't it? So this is all illusion. It is all, what is what Krishna is saying here? That word moham. Moham means all these things. That niyadasthita sanyasam karmano nopabadhyate mohal tasya parityagam. This is called moham. Moham means imagining in my mind that I will have a better life somewhere else in another time, and in my own imagination I am making up some understanding of happiness in my life, that I will have a married life with a wife and children, and I will be happy together in a social circle, and all kinds of things we can imagine in our own mind. Everybody gets these ideas in the head, isn't it? Without saying that. So all this is, what will the result of that is, that Krishna says, no, you can have it, but come back again then here. That's the word for that. So first of all, Krishna says that, first you finish up all what you have done before, what you have imagined. Now come through all that. But instead, if you have surrendered to Krishna, surrendered means that you have accepted life as it comes in front of us, and accepted in that way, you will escape from here once for all. You will escape from all, and you will become free. You will become free. That's the only way to become free. And a new life, if you start imagining in my mind, that if you start making up some new imagination and some new plans and future plans inside like that, then along with that, so many other problems will come in the next life. It's never free. It's never free. Because you know that you accepting another material body means more problems of this life, which will not go away. And now you are suffering from this body, but in the next life, that body may bring some other problems, what you may not have thought about it. So, then we are only imagining things all while sitting in this particular body, is it not? We are imagining things. Thinking completely in identification with the body, you are thinking like this, that suppose I had a body like this, or I had a body like that. Maybe sometimes people say that you can listen to people, how their mind works. Some people say that people who are playing football very well, they have to only work for 8 years or so in life, and they make so much money, they say. So somebody is praying, make me a good football player next life. If I come, I have to work from say 18 or 20 to up to 30 or 32 and finish. And you've collected millions of pounds and then you have plenty of money. Enjoy life as much as you want. 10, 12 cars parked in your car park. And you've got all the latest models of the cars. Plenty of girlfriends and enjoying all the time throughout life. Because all other jobs you have to work whole life to make some money. By the time you make the money, your body is useless. So they found out that this football player's life is the best. Very quick money and plenty of youth to enjoy life. So they are doing all, this is why they get that body, because of this kind of imaginations they have built up inside. And they may enjoy, but then the suffering is in waiting. It's not the end of life, isn't it? There are so many. So that is why, if you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that these imaginations have to stop. Instead, Brahma said to Krishna, Tatenu Gambam Susamikshamanam Bunjaname Atmakratam Vibhagam Hridva Vabhu Vidharam Namaste Jivedeyo Muktipadesa Dhayabhag. One verse, the whole Bhagavatam's summary is there in that verse. Tate anugambam susamikshamanam. That simply waiting for Krishna's grace in life all the time. Anugamba susamikshamanam. Waiting in the life. How? Bunjanam e almakritam vibhagam. That I am suffering now, it's my own creation. Because I have imagined many things in the past. And result of that, I am here like this. Bunjanam e atmakratam vibhagam, and that is maturing and I am eating the fruit, knowing this very well. At the same time, tate anugambam susamikshamanam, waiting for Krishna's mercy to come. Bunjanam e atmakratam vibhagam, hrid vag vabhir vidhatam namaste. Whatever I am doing with my heart, my words, my body, whatever it is happening, vidhatam namaste, I offer everything to you. Jivedayo muktipadesa dhayabhag. I will live like that in this world and I know I am entitled for your grace at the end if I live in that way. Brahma said this to Krishna in Brahmastuti. You can see that in the Bhagavad. Famous verse that is. Tatenu gambam susamikshamanam bunjaname valmakritam vibhagam hridva vabhubhir vidhatam namaste jivedayo muktipadesa dhayabhag. There is no sadhana mentioned there. You can see that. There is no sadhana spoken about it. Brahma has not spoken about any sadhana. Chanting the holy name, doing the deity worship, studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Because all this is for what purpose? To come to this understanding in life. That is not happening, therefore we need all the other things. Chanting the holy name is to make you to surrender in the same way. Deity worship is to make you surrender in that way. And Salsangam is to make you surrender in that way. Srimad Bhagavatam is for making you to surrender in that way. But ultimately, if that realization has come, and if you are living like that, you don't need any of these things then. We misunderstand things completely. We start thinking that if I chant 16 rounds every day for the rest of the life, and I'll do rest of the time what I like, everything will be okay. No. It's not like that. It doesn't work like that. This change that has to happen inside us, has to happen either through chanting or through deity worship or through Bhagavatam or through Salsangam, but change must happen inside. And that change is what Krishna is talking about here in this Sannyasam chapter. And you will see this in the Ishopanishad also. Beautiful verse there in the Ishopanishad. Kridam smara kridosmara. Kridam smara kridosmara. The Maharshi, the Rishi is saying that I am doing everything what I have been given. I am accepting that. Kritam smara, krito smara. That I have done, don't forget that. I have done everything what I have been asked to do. I have done that in my life. I lived like this. And now, at this last minute, when the body is going, you have to look after me. That is that principle. It's a famous verse, 17th mantra, I think it is. So, So, if Krishna asks the question, what have you done in your life to please me? There's not much to offer to say there, isn't it? And because if I start looking at your track record, and if I look at anything in the clause in your bio data or in your record, that I am looking there, but I can't find anything there. Krishna is saying like that. Okay, I can see that sometime you have chanted somewhat holy name for a few years or a few months. And also you have read Srimad Bhagavatam, but you have all misunderstood so many things after reading Bhagavatam. That also has happened. So we have to say to Krishna that if you ask any qualifications, then there's nothing there. I can show it to you in my balance sheet. There's nothing there. So, but if you do not save me now, what will happen is I'll come back and I'll do more blunders here in this life, another life. If you give me another life, I'll start doing more blunders than what already I have done. So, at least I do not do that again. You have to save me now. In this way, one has to approach Antaryami, Krishna inside the heart, as the controller of everything. And if you start asking me my qualifications, there is nothing there to show there. So that is how it is in spiritual life. This is the important thing to remember. You know, in the schools, I don't know here how it is, but in India what they used to do, when we were at school, we had exams every year. And we had, say, 40, 50 children in one class. Invariably, 5 or 6 will fail in the final exam. And they have to stay back. In the same year, they have to go through the whole year again. And those who have passed, they will go through the next class. So sometimes, some of those boys, particularly boys, girls get through somehow, I don't know why, but boys, they will fail. And after 1 or 2 years it happened. Some of them failed so many times, so many years. They become older than the teacher in the classroom. They become older than the teacher. So this was becoming a problem because government says you are spending so much money on this school's business and education, everything. And in so many schools, so many of them, grown-up men sitting in the lower classes, they were not able to get through. So they changed the system. They thought the best thing to do, you'll change the system. What they did was, they said that up to the GCSE level, which they call SSLC or something like that. Now, a name is also changing every year. So they decided that anybody who can copy the question paper in the answer paper, he is allowed to get through. That year he passes. But only when you come to the last year, either you pass or you fail. If you fail, you leave the school. So that problem is solved. If you pass, then you go into the university education in that way. So they brought this rule because of this. That in the same way, here also, in spiritual life, it is like that. If you ask qualification and all that, we will all be sitting in the same room forever. We won't be going very far. But if Antaryami inside, Krishna inside decides that he has the qualification, and that qualification is what? Is that verse. Tatenu gambam susamikshamana munjanameva atmakritam vibhagam hridvag vabhupir vidasan namaste jivedayo muktipadesadhaya bhag. He is qualified for liberation, Krishna is saying there. That person who has surrendered in that way. That means he has no prejudices, he is not expecting anything from Krishna, he is not asking Krishna how his life should be, and he leaves everything to Krishna to handle his life, whichever way Krishna sees appropriate. That's that attitude of that person. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. And nothing else is bhakti. Bhakti is nothing but this surrendered nature all the time in life. So here, so because of this, as I mentioned that, sometimes what happens is, these people who have failed, they are stuck in that class, isn't it? Similarly, in this material world also, there are some people who are older than Brahma here. Brahma is tired of them. Because they are older than Brahma, they have been here. That long, they were sitting here, isn't it? So, so that saving them, only Krishna can do that. Because Brahma realizes that nothing I can do about them. They keep coming back again, again, again. Millions and millions of lifetimes they have come back here, and they have even surpassed Brahma's lifespan. So Brahma feels he is younger to them, actually. Brahma is feeling like that. So that protecting them and saving them is Krishna's responsibility. Nobody else can do anything about it, and Krishna is doing that. That is why that this particular thing called grace, kripa, or anugraha shakti, that is one of the five aspects of Krishna. Srishti, Siddhi, Samharam, Anugraham, Tirodhanam. These five things. Panchakritya Parayana, it says in the Sasanam. Panchakritya Parayana. These five things are going on in the creation all the time. These first thing, three things you can understand. Creation, maintenance and dissolution. Those three. The other two, Anugraham and Tirodhanam. Anugraham means this power that in spite of no qualifications, people are escaping from here. And that is Anugraha Shakti. Krishna's Anugraha Shakti, the power potency of giving the grace or mercy to others, that looking, not looking into the qualification of the person, but seeing that, that obviously there is a reason behind it, that Krishna, when somebody, he sees that someone who is not asking from Krishna or making any plans for the future, who out of his own intelligence has become that, developed himself, matured in that way, that he is not expecting anything, leaving everything to Krishna to make that decision, and completely surrendered to Krishna, living that life, Krishna finds that a suitable candidate and takes him out from here. Not that he has done any big wonders here. That's not the qualification. Qualification is that he has accepted Krishna's authority, that every moment in his life, he lives in that consciousness. So that is that Anugraha Shakti. Tirodhana means, finally, the final one thing is that that Maya has put this veil on us, isn't it? And to take us out of this Maya, it requires a special grace. That is Tirodhanam. Tirodhanam means illusion goes away from inside. We are all under illusion, strong illusion about life, is it not? That illusion goes away, Tirodhana Shakti. The veil of Maya pulls out and shows us who we are, actually. Whatever real, genuine identity, what it is, that is revealed to us. That is Tirodhana Shakti. So, because if we do not have this, that these forces are working, operating in this world, in everyone. If it's not there, we won't be sitting here and listening to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. It won't happen. It won't happen. So, so many exams we must have passed. That is why we are sitting in front of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and able to give some attention to it. Otherwise, you can see so many intelligent people in this world, but they are busy with so many other nonsense things also here, isn't it? So what Krishna is saying, Brahma is saying to us, don't try to escape from the problems. So, and don't have to jump out of one situation thinking that another situation will be better. And this is exactly the same thing, you remember, that Vatavi Jirno Bhava, that Agastya Maharshi, when he was given the human flesh to eat, he said, Vatabi, that the demon was killed and given to Agastya Maharshi. Agastya Maharshi ate that and nothing happened to him. Because what did he do? He said to the Antaryami inside, if that's what has gone inside, then you have to digest it. He says to Antaryami, it's in the Bhagavatam, that story. Vatabi Jirno Bhava. Jirna means to digest. That Vadabi, let him get digested in my stomach inside, if I have eaten him, he said. Visham vidhina yuktam aushadatvaya kalpade aushadam avidhina yuktam tivram sambadhyade visham. This is a verse in the Ayurvedam. Ayurvedam says like this, that visham vidhina yuktam aushadatvaya kalpade, that if poison, if medicine is also, if it is not given according to the injunctions, according to the instructions, it can become poison. It can become poison. You know that any of these medicines what we take, including paracetamol even, if you don't follow that instructions what that has been given there, they say that, listen, you can have so many tablets in 24 hours or something. You can see that. Every medicine has a injunction like that. So medicine has to be taken according to the injunctions, according to the instructions in the leaflet or the physician's instructions, isn't it?
If you don't do that, it can become poison and you can get killed. Similarly, chanting the holy name, meditation or spiritual life or pranayama, what we the yogis do, or salsangam, if everything is not done with the proper understanding, that itself can become a problem. It can also become a problem, all these things. That means japam, dhyanam, and spiritual life, adhyatma jivitam, pranayamam, salsangam, all these things also, in the proper way, with the proper understanding, if it is not done, then that it can become a problem. Because you must have heard this, particularly in the Ashtanga Yoga. It becomes serious problems. In the Bhakti Yoga, what will happen is you won't get any result. That's all. If you do it things without proper understanding. Bhakti Yogam, there is no dangers as such. But Ashtanga Yogam, there is danger as well. There are people who have done pranayama without proper guidance and they have gone crazy. Because what they have done is that if you try to control the pranan is like a lion inside. And if you try to tame that lion, and if you don't know how to do that properly, the lion can jump over you and finish you off. And that has happened. Many people have gone crazy in their life just by practicing pranayama. Pranayama has done this to them. That is why you will see in that Voice of God book, Chandrasekhar says there, whatever you may do in this world, don't do Ashtanga Yogam without proper guidance from a person who has a good sound knowledge of your system. Well, otherwise, many people, they could go and join, start doing on their own, reading books and start doing things. So in Ashtanga Yogam, that problem is very conspicuous, that you can get into trouble very easily and you will go wander around in this world like a crazy person because you've got pranan has gone, lost its function properly in the body. Pranayamam has gone bad. So therefore, in our life in this world also, we should not break it up into two. This is my spiritual life, this is my material life. And if you start separating it like that, and then you start saying that my material life should be like this, and spiritual life you should be like this, we start putting preconditions to that, is it not? And that will all create problems. That should not be done. There is only one life, and that life is spiritual life only. Material life is some adjustments you are making to supplement this spiritual life, isn't it? So wherever Krishna has put us, in whatever situation Krishna has put us in, that's all Krishna's arrangement that is. And there must be a reason why Krishna has put us in that situation also. Therefore, better not to ask much questions about it. Not to ask any questions about it. And not to think that why this problem has come to me in my life. And accept that as prasadam. Krishna's prasadam. Whether it is good or bad. And both Krishna has given us. If I am getting something bad or finding difficult, then I must have done something somewhere wrong in my life. And I have to take this medicine. And this is that medicine. This is that medicine. That medicine, you can see this also in different ways. Sometimes in relationships, people sometimes get very attached to each other. And suddenly you will notice something happens in life, they break up. And then there is so much agony inside, misery in life. At that time they do not understand. And then they leave everything, spiritual life itself, they stop all their sadhana, upasana, everything. They say that, why did this happen? We followed the Vedic literature, we did everything as per the Shastram, and why our marriage failed? And things like that, questions people ask, all these kind of things. What you have to realize there is this, that good thing or bad thing in life, whatever that has happened is Krishna's arrangement. And if I have to suffer, I needed that treatment, and that medicine was necessary. That is why in Vishnu Sahasranamam, you will see Krishna has been given some names, interesting names. Vedyo Vaidya Sada Yogi Viraha Madhavo Madhu Bheshajam Bhishaka. He is the medicine and he is the physician. Krishna is the physician and Krishna is the medicine also. Vaidyo Vaidyasada Yogi Viraha Madhava Madhu. So Sada Viraha Madhava Madhu. So Vaidyam means that is person who can treat us. Vaidya means the physician is Krishna. And the medicine is also Krishna, and Krishna knows the medicine, what is the right medicine for the disease what we have got. If there is excessive attachment, Krishna will smash it. Because it's necessary, otherwise you won't progress further. He knows that. So what he does is, when you have somewhere excessive attachment, he will smash it down. If you have excessive attachment to wealth, he will take away all your wealth. He knows what is necessary. Prabhupada acknowledges that. He said, I was extremely attached to the wealth, he said. So he took away every penny from me, made me like a beggar, he said. It was necessary. And in the Bhagavatam you can see that. Often, yasyaham anugrihnami harishetadhanam shanai tadodhanam tejandese sojanal dukha dukhida. That Krishna will put you into such a distress that all your family members will say goodbye and go. So you can see how Krishna's arrangement is so nice. They won't bother you anymore after that. Isn't it? Tadodhanam tejandasya sojanal dukha dukhida. That sojanam, you are thinking in illusion that all these are my family members, they will be there, they're so nice to me. And all this is illusion. This is nothing but illusion. Nobody can help anybody in this world. That is the point that Krishna is saying here also, that the whole life, to realize that the whole lifetime, what we spend in this world is nothing but a time for Krishna to prepare us for coming out of this bodily identity. And whatever that's necessary, Krishna will do that. If you are attached to the wealth, he will take away the wealth. If you are attached to the body too much and feeling proud in your body, Krishna will take the health away. And then you will start thinking, why did this happen? Like we all do, isn't it? So if it is health, Krishna will take away the health. If it is the wealth, Krishna will take away the wealth. If it is beauty, he will take away the beauty. Because our attachment, we don't know where it is. In so many different places it is. Is it not? So that is the way spiritual life works. That is the point Krishna is making here. Said, and in Krishna's actions and Krishna's decision makings, there is no mistake there. There won't be any mistake. If it is done something, it's done with good intentions and it will have its benefit also later. Only thing is, and we should not find mistakes in that. That is the wrong thing to do. If something is happening in life, not to find fault with Krishna. Why have you done this? That means you are trying to find mistakes with what Krishna has decided there. Or mistakes if you don't find out, or if you don't create any prejudices inside, or not to try to change the whole thing upside down by your own decision making, and that is not advised. That's not advised. That is what this warning in this verse is. Krishna is very subtly putting this into us, our head, that try to understand this, he's saying, that if you don't recognize these things, don't come to spiritual life, continue with your material life. That's the point. Because this surrender is not an easy thing. You see, when Krishna says to us, Sarvadharman Parityaja, at the very, very end of this whole thing, first you have to be ready for that. It's no point calling somebody from the street and telling him, Sarvadharman Parityaja, Mamekam Charanam. Who is going to listen? And will that happen? It will never happen. He'll go on his own way, but he'll tell everybody else, Sarvadharman Parityaja, but it'll not happen. It's all waste of time. Sarvadharman Parityaja is the last thing to happen in life. After gone through this life, experienced all these things, and inside a maturity has to come. But till that maturity comes, if you say to somebody Sarvadharman Parityaja, it is not workable. It's not operational then. It cannot work. That is the point. So this knowledge what Krishna is talking about here, that this understanding, what he is indicating to us in these verses, is knowledge. So, utilizing that knowledge and making life surrender to Krishna is what is expected. And how that has to happen, that method he knows, that you have to surrender, you have to ask the Antaryami. And what has to be done in that way to favor that you have to ask Krishna, and he will have to guide from inside. Otherwise, it is difficult, isn't it? You should not try to run away from that, to fly off from that. And that is what Krishna is going to say. You see, first thing, Tamasa Tyagam, he spoke. And he told us what the problem is, because due to moham or illusion, you are running away from the thing, that is tamasatyagam.
Isn't it? He said there, niyadastadu sannyasam karmano nopapadyade mohal tasya parityagam tamasa parikritide.
So there it is moham, the problem. Moham, because there is no knowledge. So therefore moham, due to moham he takes to sannyasam, that is tamasam. And in the next verse he said, due to kaya klesha bhayatyajed. That means, so it is too much hassle, too much struggle, all these things. And therefore, I can't engage in spiritual life because of the bodily discomfort. I don't want to engage in anything, any kind of spiritual activity. I'm refraining from doing that. That is rajasam, he said. But preparing oneself, accepting what Krishna has given us, everything in life, as it is, accepting that, without any complaints, and surrendering to Krishna, and living a life based on what, like Brahma has said to Krishna, tatenu gambam, susamikshamana bunjaname valmagradam vibhagam, hridva vabhubhir vidasan namaste, jivedayo mukti svadesadav, mukti vadesadhayabhat. In that consciousness, if one lives in this world, and continuously interacting with Antaryami, whichever position Antaryami is offered us, accepting that without any complaint, asked without any prejudices, without any kind of questioning, complaints, accepting that I'm living in this world and only speaking to Antaryami, guide me in that way so that I can escape from this mess called body and the mind. And what is that process? That's the next verse. If you look in, you will see the Satyuga Tyagam, the next one. So that is the next verse. Satyuga Tyagam, Rajasam and Tamasam Krishna has spoken. Now you can see when it comes to Satvigam, how everything changes. How everything changes. So let us look at that verse. Satvigya Tyagam. So there is a lot of differences between the three. Satvigam, Rajasam, Tamasam. So those who come to Satvigya Tyagam and take to Satvigya Sannyasam is also very, very rare. It's very, very rare. Most of the people don't think that. For them, sannyasam is nothing but a change of cloth. Isn't it? So, that is why in the next verse, let's look at that. Karya mityeva yal karmam niyadam kriyate arjunam sangam tektva bhalam chaiva satyaga satvigomata karya mityeva yal karmam niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam tektva bhalam chaiva satyaga satvigomata. That's it. Karyam ityeva yal karmam niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam tektva bhalam chaiva satyaga satvigomata. See that, how definition is. He says here that karyam kartavyam iti eva yal karma niyadam nityam kriyade nirvartyade he Arjuna sangam tektva bhalam eva cha. He says here, Arjuna, nitya karmam, I have to do what I have to do every day without saying anything. That means with all the inconveniences in life, still what you have to do, you have to do. Waking up in the morning, doing your morning duties. Duties means bathing yourself and getting ready, and not still stay in the bed. Oh, the weather is so nice, and feeling cozy with the sleep. But instead, waking up in the morning, feeling that I have to do it. This understanding, I have to do the deity worship. I have to chant the holy name. I have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. I have to go to satsangam. Doing all these things in a planned way, doing that on a regular basis, whether it is inconvenience or not. Not looking into that side of it, rather doing it as a duty. That is Krishna is saying here. Nirvartyade, that, and while doing that, not developing attachment to that at the same time. That means not expecting any results from that. This is the problem, that when we make a little sacrifice, we want 10 times the result from that. That will not happen. Because it is not sattvyam then. It becomes sattvyam without getting attached to it, and without expectation of results from that. You're not attached to that activity, you're not attached to the results either. In that way, to function. That is satyam. That is satyam. Otherwise, it is rajasam and tamasam.
So this you can observe in advanced people, spiritually advanced persons. If you observe, you will see these things in them. That they will be going on living in this world, but while living, it is like the what Krishna says, Padma Matram Ivam Bhasau, like a water in the lotus leaf, they will live in this world. Eder Nityanam Karmanam Bhalavatve Bhagat Vajanam Pramanam Avochama. So, Nityarmam, daily activity, this Nityakarma means these things, what one feels spiritually one has to do every day, every morning or every evening or throughout the day, what one has to do. Now, everybody won't be doing exactly the same thing. That will depend on person to person. He will, according to his capacity, according to his facilities, what his prarabdham will dictate from inside, how much a person will do, isn't it? Eva Nityanam Karmanam Bhalavatve Bhagavad Vajanam Pramanam. The authority is Krishna's words. Bhagavad Vajanam Pramanam. Avochama Athava Yadyabi Bhalam na Shruyade Nityasa Karmanaha Tadhabi Nityam Karmagradam Alma Samskaram. He says, Pratyavaya Pariharam Va Bhalam Karodi Almanaha Idi Kalpayadi Eva Ajnaha Tatradam Abhi Kalpayam Nivarayadi Bhalam Tektva Idi Anena Athaha Sadhu Uktam Sangam Tektva Bhalam Cha Idi Saha Tyagaha Nitya Karmasu Sanghamala Paritiagaha Satyugaha Sattva Naruvrataha Madaha Abhipredaha. Krishna is saying here that Nityakarma means our daily spiritual duties, what we have to do every day. That is up to the individual to decide how much he can do. Because everyone is in different situations due to prarabdham, isn't it? Somebody who is working many, many hours in a day, he may not have that time to do it. Or somebody else who is not doing anything, he may have a lot of time to do it. So everybody is in a different situations, isn't it? So, this Nitya Karma, two things Krishna mentions there. One thing, not to get attached to that karma. Secondly, not to expect any results from karma. From Nitya Karma, not to expect any results. But there is one interesting thing. The ignorant person, he expects results, is it not? Because he's ignorant. What can he do? He's expecting results. And there's two kinds of results he's expecting from this. One is that I'm doing all these spiritual activities so that I develop some spiritual culture in me, spiritual understanding of life. And also by doing that, I'm escaping from so many other nonsense what I would have done. For example, suppose I have busy schedule in the morning in spiritual activity, then the chances that I won't switch on the telly. So I escape from the television because I'm doing something spiritual activity. So these two benefits are there from this Nitya Karma. One, it develops spiritual culture inside, spiritual understanding. And secondly, you are able to refrain from your tendency to enjoy with the matter. That means watching television or reading newspaper or so many other things, isn't it? People have different ways of enjoying life. Some people go to play tennis in the morning because that's a good time, they say, to play tennis. And this is all waste of time as far as self-realization is concerned. Or somebody will go for jogging in the morning. You can see in different times people are trying to enjoy some morning walk. They go for hours together and keep themselves fit. So these are things but if you are engaged in spiritual life, all these things will come to a stop. It won't happen. So Krishna is saying here, keeping these two principles, the ignorant person is still doing Nitya Karma. He's still doing his Nitya Karma, isn't it? That person who is doing engaged in spiritual life with the understanding with these two things, he is still in ignorance. He has not come to Satagunam yet. So what he is saying here is that if you have got yourself gone beyond than that, that means Nitya Karmam will happen in life irrespective of what goes on in life. For example, every day in your life different issues come, isn't it? Due to work, some problem will come in life. Because you're working somewhere. Suppose some company expects you to go somewhere, you have to fly off somewhere or go for some meetings or this, that and the other, or meet somebody somewhere. Things like that. Your daily schedule can get changed. And
It can also happen that your body is somewhat in a little bit unhealthy state. You've got some bodily problems and things like that. When those things happen, it will affect your nitya karma. But one who has gone beyond the body, he will continue doing it irrespective of what situation he is put in. He will still be able to keep holding on to that. One. And secondly, asakti is not there. Asakti means attachment. Attachment to the results. I'm doing it, but what results from that come, I'm not bothered about it. Whether it comes or don't come, it doesn't matter. So if you have come to that stage, and if you are living in that life, then it is satyagam. Then it is satyagam. Now you see the difference? Satyagam, rajasam, tamasam. Remarkable difference between all the three, is it not? So when it comes to satyagam, that renunciation alone is proper renunciation. That means it is not affecting you inside. You are doing it because you know it has to be done in that understanding. Results, you are not bothered. What results? That is in Krishna's hands. To leave it like that. That understanding. Whereas we are thinking, oh, I've chanted 64 rounds, some people say, for 1 or 2 years, then they expect that to be like Sukadeva Goswami after that. That won't happen. That cannot happen. That's not how it happens. What happens is like this. Then these people who have reached that stage, they have gone through all these phases in life, that they have come, that detachment, vairagyam has developed inside, and vairagyam has led in them into knowledge, jnanam and bhakti. And not only that, that satyaga tyagam, Krishna says here, idiha satyagaha atma samskaram pratyavaya pariharam va bhalam karoti atmanaha. Atma samskaram means to get fixed up in the knowledge of the soul is not easy, is it not? We are so fixed up in the body that to feel that we are not this body inside, whereas I am spirit soul, whatever we have got now is a slight reflection intellectually. That's all what we have at the moment, is it not? What Krishna is saying here is that Atma samskaram means to stay within this body, and to experience that I am not this body. That is Alpa Samskaram. That Alpa Samskaram will develop if this Nitya Karmam is performed regularly in Satyaga mode, in Satugunam mode. That will develop. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, Asakti, giving up that attachment to Nitya Karmam, and also giving up the results from the, of giving up the expectation, without expectation of any results from that, Krishna says they are both satya tyagam. Now, nanu karma parityagaha trividha sanyasaha idicha pragradaha tatra tamasaha rajasascha uktaha tyagaha kadham iha sanghavala tyagam tridiyatvena uchyate yadhatraya brahmanaha agadaha tatra shadanga vidva vidodvau kshatriya tridiya iditavad. For example, three kinds of tyagam Krishna has spoken here. Is it not? Satyam, rajasam, tamasam. Three things. Now, first he spoke about tamasa rajasam. He spoke about that. And satyam he has spoken finally. So he says here, is this not meaningless? This is purvavaksham. Purvavaksham means, acharyas in his commentary, they bring questions, what can likely to happen from the philosophical point of view. They ask this question. Is this not problem? Because they say here, three brahmanas have come. Out of that, two of them were learned in the Vedam, but one was a Kshatriya. In that way, it does not look meaningless, this question. That is the question what they are raising. In the sense, they say, for example, if you say, three Brahmanas have come, out of the two are learned in the Vedam, but the third one is more of a Kshatriya than a Brahmana. But you are calling them Brahmana. Is that not similar thing what you are saying here, when you talk about this giving up satya, rajasa, tamasa, different kind of karma. So the answer to that is, it is not like that. Giving up karma and able to move away from the expectation of the results of the karma, both are considered to be tyagam. Yeah? Giving up karma and able to move away from the expectation of the results of karma is both tyagam. Only Krishna wanted to stress this one point, that the tyagam is more important. Sacrifice is more, renunciation is more important. by glorifying Tamasa Tyagam and Rajasa Tyagam, Krishna's intention was not to drag us into that. Instead, he wanted to make it very clear that karmam and tyagam and renunciation is only perfect if it is in the satya mode. For that reason, he spoke about rajasam and tamasam. You see that? That why he separately spoke about rajasam and tamasam is not with the intention that we have to go in that direction, only to make us aware that only in satya mode, if that renunciation happens, it will have some substantial benefit in spiritual life. Not in the Rajasa Tyagam, not in the Tamasa Tyagam. Now, keeping all this in the perspective, you have to look in the world and see how things are happening. How Tamasa Tyagam is failing. Rajasa Tyagam is also failing. They are falling down all the time, in one way or the other. They may be saying that, oh, I've been 40 years, 50 years sannyasi and all. That's no meaning. There's no value to it. The value thing is this, this judgment based on that. He said in satviya mood, if you are remaining in the satviya state, then if it is happening, that tyagam will create proper knowledge and renunciation inside. Otherwise not. Otherwise it won't help. That is why he's saying here, so that satviya tyagam, he says there, important point there in satviya tyagam is this, that asakti must go. Asakti means attachment. People have attachment like that, is it not? That means you have certain way you are living your spiritual life in this world. Each one of us are different in that. And you are feeling that you get attached to it in some form. Or this is all I'm going to do, and this is my way I'll do it. This way getting attached to it, that is attachment, asakti. Then the other side of that is giving up the results. If you are doing any sadhana, and you are thinking that results will come one day, when that day we don't know. And if you are doing like that, that means there is expectation of results. If both these things have gone from inside, then it is satya tyago. That is the important principle. And that you will only see in very advanced people, in spiritually. Very advanced people, you will very clearly see this in them. You will see this very clearly in them. There are people like that who have gone very high in spiritual path, but if you look into their life in this world, you will notice this. They will do what they have to do, but there is no attachment to it. To the, they are nishta. That's the nishta. And if anything comes, good or bad, they are not bothered about it. That kind of perfection inside, purnada, perfection has come to them. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, he says here, yadu adhigrata sangam tektva bhalabhi sandhinjantyam karma karodi tasya bhalaragadina akalushi kriyamanam andakaranam nitehi cha karmabhi samskriyamanam vishuddhyadi. What will happen is that a person who is doing nitya karma in that way, that means his asakti has gone and his results, expectation from the results have gone, and if he does the nitya karma, you will see him getting purified inside very quickly. Very quickly he will get purified inside. Why? Because there is no ragam, there is no dvesham in the karma. There is no ragadvesham. Kartratva boktratvam is not there. It's just happening through him. In other words, he has become so relaxed about his sadhana. We all do with sadhana, which is like a battle it is. Is it not? Oh, I have to chant my rounds and this and that. Sometimes people see that battle has to go. But it's not a battle. Battle means that there is so much identification with that sadhana. That's what it is. That's why it's a battle. So the battle state has to go away, whereas it has to become such a, easily relaxed way it has to happen. And that you will see only in the advanced people, devotees, advanced jnanis. You will observe them that their sadhana happens every day in their body without any endeavor. So relaxed about everything, not with effort. It's difficult. I know it takes a long, long time to come to that state of life, to state of experience, isn't it? So, but if it is done like that, only then inside purification will happen.
അന്ധകരണം പരിശുദ്ധം. ഇറ്റ്സ് ഈസിയർ. അന്ധകരണം അകലുഷീക്രിയമാണ്, അന്ധകരണം നിത്യേഹീച്ച കർമ്മഭി സംസ്ക്രിയമാണ് വിശുദ്ധ്യതി. That antakaranam, the subtle body, gets continuously purified in that process. Purified in that process. It is difficult because it takes time to go through whole life to come to this experience of life. It is. Initially when we come to physical, spiritual life first, all rules and regulations, we take it so seriously. Is it not? And then we feel that if we break anywhere, somebody asked this question that I think it was the funniest answer I've ever heard. Somebody met a devotee. So this person, he had been preached to by the other person for quite a long time. So they met each other and for some time they lived in the same temple, for example. Afterwards he left the temple. He couldn't handle it too much and he went away from there. So later on, they met somewhere after many months or some year or so. So this person asked the other person that, said, do you follow all the principles? He said, mostly, he said. Mostly. So that's not that relaxed state. That's not what Krishna is talking about. Because you will see, oh, the person is so relaxed. He says, out of all the four, one or two I follow as and when it suits me. People say all this kind. This is one extreme, one side. So relaxed that way. The other extreme is, some people are like madness, it is. Fundamentalistic nature in everything. No relaxation inside. So rigid about everything. Sometimes you see this in some people. They become so rigid that it becomes really impossible to live with them. When they become like that also. So that is also not the right thing. The right thing is this relaxed nature, able to do things and becomes a habit in a person that he won't feel attracted by anything in this world. That means in a very relaxed way things happen through that body. That is spiritual life. Not either extreme. Both are bad. One side it is too relaxed. He says, I'll follow regulative principles mostly, he says. Not always. What is this mostly? How do you follow this regulative principles mostly? Either you follow it, you don't follow it, isn't it? But and similarly, the other one is the extreme case. Also is hard. Because while living in this world, everything is not so easy. We'll have a lot of problems, especially if you're working outside. Certain things require adjustment and things like that. So Krishna is saying here that when Nitya Karma is performed without expectation of results, and without getting attached to it, that is the only thing that will purify a person's subtle body. That's the only thing that will purify a person's subtle body. This is the principle behind it. And he will get the strength to face the soul. To face the soul. Because when you are exposed to your real identity, who you are, suddenly you can't handle it. With all this tough dealings inside, what is going on. Because everyone feels stressed out in spiritual life also sometimes, isn't it? You see people very often stressed out in spiritual life. And where is that? Because they are not relaxed inside. They made it difficult. They made it difficult due to this enforcement. They'll follow 10 years, 15 years sometimes in a very heavy manner, and then they suddenly can't handle it and they go. And then they go to the other side, other extreme. It happens to everyone. Many people it happens. But that is why this state of consciousness, what Krishna is talking about, is important. That Satya Tyagam, if that is developed inside, he won't be like that. He'll be relaxed about everything, but it will happen in a natural way through him, and he is not concerned what the results are. It does not bother him. It does not upset him. Because otherwise, many people, when they engage in spiritual, some people say, some old devotees also said this, they said, 30, 40 years I wasted my life, they say. Because they couldn't find, they say, what did I gain from this? They felt like that. They felt like, this is all due to not properly listening to what Krishna is saying to us. Krishna is telling us that in these three modes, how we will react to each situation. In Tamogunam we'll do one way, Rajogunam we'll do another way, Sattugunam we'll do another way. And only in the Sattugunam
whatever spiritual life you have cultivated will stay, will survive in this world. Whatever spiritual life cultivated in Rajogunam and Tamogunam, you will fall one day. You won't be able to stay. If you understand that principle and conscious of that all the time and change ourselves accordingly, that's the solution to the problem. We can't change Bhagavad Gita, we have to change ourselves the way Krishna wants us to change. So, so this Nitya Karma is a difficult thing, isn't it? Especially in the modern world where we live now, that timings are so, our lifestyle is so complex in every way. So, so in the Puranam, in the Markandeya Puranam, Markandeya Maharshi mentions this, that Nityam, Naimittikam, Nitya Naimittikam, three ways he has said, Nityam Naimittikas Chaiva, Nitya Naimittikas Tada, Grihastasya Tridha Karmam, Tan Nishamaya Putraga, Panja Yajnashadantyam Yadhaidat Kadidam Tava, Naimittikam Tadha Chanyal, Putra Janma Kriyadiyam. This karmam is a very important topic, is it not? So when it comes to this karmam, Nitya Karmam, Naimittika Karmam, they classified them. Krishna also classified that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the early chapters. And one point Krishna says there, how karmam will be understood by people is also very difficult to say. What Krishna says there is, Gahana Karmano Gedi. The way how karmam will take everyone in different directions, it is very difficult to forecast that. Even very advanced people, they are confused about it. They are very confused about it. There are many, many learned people who knows that if you have done something sinful in life, there is solution to that problem. That prayaschittam, they call it. And sometimes they have, you have to consult people who know about it. What is the prayaschittam? If I have done something, prayaschittam means atonement. Atonement. What should I do to overcome that thing? And the after effect of that, isn't it? Because sometimes in ignorance we do many things in life without knowing that that there is an after effect for everything what we have done, isn't it? So they have, therefore, in the Puranams and all, they have certain instructions that for this, in this problem, this is the atonement for that. Brahmayajnam Adhyavanam. Brahmayajnam Adhyavanam. Pidriyajnam Tarpanam. That's also in the Bhagavatam, the same words comes there. Devarshibhudaptanaram Pitranam. We have debt towards all the living entities. For demigods, we have debt. For rishi, sages, we have got the debt. And then we have got debt to the forefathers. How do we pay all these debts? That's been spoken there, isn't it? Similarly, Bhudayajnam means our obligations to other living entities. For example, cats, ants, dogs, all of them, you pay your debts to them by giving them food. That's the way, the simplest way to offer them food. And if you have committed any serious crimes, to this is all in the in the Puranams as well as in the Smriti, they talk about these things. That if you have done anything to somebody else, some heavy punishment you have given to somebody, or if you have done something which is not authorized by Shastram, you have upset somebody badly in your dealings in this world, in such situations, through respecting the guests and offering everything to the guests and worshipping them in that way, that's all you can release yourself from the after effect of your sinful activity. So many things mentioned like that. Then, in the Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya, now you have to remember this, Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the background of Varnashramam, isn't it? That means four Varnam and four Ashramam exist in that society when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. It is in the background of that it is spoken. So therefore, that every one of them, for Brahmana there is certain kinds of atonement, for Kshatriyas there is another kind, for Vaishyas another type, and for Shudras the different types of atonement mentions there. And people who are not very much interested in studying Shastram, or who are not in the, who have the nature of a service, Shudra-like nature, for them what is recommended is that they have to engage in activities which are favorable for development in spiritual life for the society, in such things. For example, protecting the cows and building temples and looking after the maintenance of the temples and helping them in that way. Those things which has to be done. And Shudrobi Purta Dharmena Vaidige Padigaravan. Then Naimitya Yajnam. Naimitya means that it happens once in a way. It's not a daily thing. Nityam means that is in your daily life. Naimitya means that happens occasionally. For example, there is a birth in the family. A baby is born. Or there is a ceremony for giving the name to the child. Or birthday and things like that. And in those situations, there is certain karma to be performed. Equally, you have that Purnami day when the moon is on new moon day or on the full moon day. Then Shraddham, when you have to perform. Sankramam time, that means when the sun moves from the one sphere to another sphere. That those things what you do at that time, they are not every day. Occasionally it happens, isn't it? So they are called a Naimitya Yajnam. So Naimitya Yajnam, there is a lot of instructions for that, what one should do in the Shastra. So let's look at that now. Coming back to this, we'll say, Krishna says there that, look back into the fourth verse, where this whole subject is very technical and very subtle also. And unless we fully understand the subtle aspects of these verses, this 18th chapter, which is the cream of Bhagavad Gita's final words, will also look very very much unknown thing to us. That's why this chapter requires more and more discussion, because otherwise everything is coming from the previous chapters. Mm-hmm. Now, previous chapters, if we have assimilated properly, then this chapter is a lot easier. But we are human beings and we know our weaknesses. What we have studied yesterday, we can't remember today. This is the state of affairs. And these things, what Krishna has spoken in the first six chapters, Krishna is putting a final touch on that and putting it to us in these verses. So here, in the fourth verse, Krishna has spoken there. That was an important verse. He said that the Nishayam Shrunume Tatra Tyage Bharata Satama Tyagohi Purusha Vyakra Trivita Samprakirtita. He said, isn't it? Trivita Samprakirtita. Then he told us that that sannyasam and tyagam, in essence, it's one and the same thing. Essence, it is one and the same thing. But, well, talking about tyagam, Krishna spoke about these three kinds. Satvikam, rajasam, tamasam. So, if tyagam means renunciation, if renunciation happens in life, in which mode it has happened, that's important. Did it happen in the mode of goodness? Did it happen in the mode of passion? Or did it happen in the mode of ignorance? This should be taken into notice. So, Krishna mentions in that chapter we have seen there that Yasmal tamasadi bhedena tyaga sanyasa vacha hartaha adhikratasya karminaha analtmachasya trivida sambhavadi tasma nishchayam paramartha shastrartha vishayam adhyavasayam aishwaram me matta shruno. He mentions there that these words, tyagam and sannyasam, that means renunciation and sannyasam, tyagam and sannyasam, it changes its meaning when it comes under three modes. You see that? When it comes under three modes, it changes its meaning. Like I have explained that before, isn't it? So, those who have got, who are qualified for engaging in karma, that means who got karma vasana and he is has to engage in karma, and but he is in knowledge, they are engaged in karma. One kind of people, one group of people
who have knowledge about karma, and but they are engaged in karma. There is another group who have no knowledge about karma, but they are engaged in karma. And there is a third group who don't do any karma and who are completely ignorant. Now, people will take to sannyasam for any of these three groups. Is it not? Because sannyasam is an external thing in the world. Sometimes some might say, we want more sannyasis, let's recruit some sannyasis. Big drive to recruit some sannyasis. So, because they need sannyasis to preach or to propagate or something. So they'll say, let's get some sannyasis. And they'll, sometimes you see them advertised also. That those who are interested come approach. And but that's a different thing. So they may not be ready for it, but they'll be given sannyasam and send them to field. Because if it is sannyasam, people say, oh, people will respect them because he's a sannyasi. So we'll put the sannyasi cloth on him and send him to field to preach. So, so these three kinds of people exist in this world. A jnani, who has no knowledge, but he has taken sannyasam. Second one, those engaged in karma, but they have no knowledge. They have taken to sannyasam. And the third one, who is in knowledge, and who is properly qualified to do karma, and is doing his karma, he has taken sannyasam. So, three sannyasis coming from these three different backgrounds. For a person who is ignorant, he all look sannyasis. Isn't it? They all look sannyasis. But as far as Krishna is concerned, none of them are sannyasis properly, for this reason only, that their sannyasam has come in three different modes. One has come in ignorance, one has come in Rajogunam, and one has come in Sattvikagunam. So Sattvagunam will develop, help him. The one who has taken to sannyasam in Sattvagunam will purify that person. Will purify that person. That is what Krishna is saying to us. That how karmam will change the person's sannyasam, the nature of his sannyasam itself. Who cares all these things in the modern world? Nobody cares. They just take sannyasam as a sort of institutional recognition or something. Or people who make the decision themselves are not always conscious of all these aspects of sannyasam. Because if you take all this into account, it's very difficult to get a person who is a proper sannyasi in that sense. Isn't it? It's a very rare thing it is. So he says here, so, and these things cannot be explained to anybody also, because that person himself has to know where his sannyasam is coming from. The one who is going to taking sannyasam, he should know more than others that where is my sannyasam nature is coming from. Is it coming from sattvagunam? Is it coming from rajogunam? Or is it coming from tamogunam? Otherwise, what will happen is that he will waste his time in this world. If you have taken sannyasam in tamogunam, and then after 10-20 years or so, sometimes you may fall. You may fall from your position. And then he will say to the world, oh, I was a sannyasi for 10-20 years, whatever it is. And you can't say that. World will tell him, you were never a sannyasi. That means that it was only a waste of time. It hasn't helped. It hasn't helped. In the modern world, because everything is so fallen, we are doing everything as a patchwork according to the situation. We just try to adjust everything. Okay, if you've fallen, don't worry. Change the clothes and come back and do something else. No. Because everybody is in that state, what can you do? This is a sorry state of affairs that we want to, because we say that that the person fallen, some people are taking sannyasam few times, some people are marrying sometime few times. So people are trying all sorts of things to survive in spiritual life. That's not how it works. It has to work the other way. That these spiritual life has to change us, that such things don't happen. Otherwise you shouldn't jump into such things before you're ready for it. That's the answer to that. So that is why Krishna stayed there. So here, what is important, you see how Bhagavad Gita has that subtlety of that. So, Krishna is saying this to us, that these three kinds of sannyasam exist.
it's coming through people in three different modes. It comes from them. Because ultimately, the person who is taking sannyasam is responsible for everything, what he is doing. Isn't it? So, he says here that the important thing here is that this decision, what is inside you in a subtle level, what has the decision working? You know this, that somebody who has made a decision in his spiritual life, that not about self-realization, not about freeing from the body or the mind. Instead, if he has made a decision to go up in the ladder, in the organization, or collecting followers, or amassing wealth, or name and fame, his decision is faulty. His decision is faulty. You can't play games with these things. Those things you can do in your office work, politics, and all your intelligence, diplomacy, and all that. You can do all that thing in your workplace or in your social life. If you bring all that mentality into spiritual life, you will fail. You won't reach that. This is the important thing. That is why it is said that this adhyavasayam. Adhyavasayam means what actually is, what is actually that is, what's the right word? What is actually giving you the encouragement to come to sannyasam? Prompting that from inside. And that decision, what is prompting from inside, that is the important factor. Suppose a person is totally convinced inside after reading Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying, that I want to escape from this body once for all. I don't want to come back to another body. And he has accepted everything what Krishna has said, including about surrender, bhakti, has come properly inside. And he knows the miseries of this life. He is not expecting any more, anything from this world in any form, either in the form of recognition or in the form of followers or money or any such thing in this world. Inside him there is only one decision. What is that decision? I don't want to come back in another body, not to accept another body. And burning desire inside not to come back. And knowing very well that this place is a place of misery. And it's not going to be any time easy here. And if I develop another vasana in me, imagining about the future, it means that I'll have to come back here. Conscious of all these things inside. He's so conscious that he lives a life in that way, executes his spiritual life. And in that time, if he moves into sannyasa ashram, it is satyam. It is satyam. So, whether you know about this life, whether I know the goal of my life or I don't know the goal of life, the life is going on, isn't it? All of us. We don't know whether we know the goal of this life or not. Our life is still going on in this world. It's only a question of 60, 70, 80 years maximum. It's over and gone from this world once for all. So, therefore, that the goal, we know what it is the right thing to do. But due to our vasana inside, our different desires, we get distracted from the goal. That's what's happening to all of us, is it not? And then, in that process, we put different garbs on us. Brahmachari, grastha, sannyasam, vanaprastham and all other things. So, just like the river is flowing towards the ocean. River knows the destination. The ocean is the goal. Similarly, whether we know it or we don't know it, the journey is going on. Our life is going on. And at some point in life, we become conscious of that, the goal. And that is the time you are ready for sannyasam. You see? Life is going on like this. Lot of knocks from all sides in life and experienced all that things. And eventually, at some point in time, you become realized suddenly that this is what I want in life. I don't want anything here in this world. None of them is the solution to the problem. If I get another body, the same problems. If I have to go to school again to study all that garbage, they have avidya, another misery. Isn't it? Grow up, another misery. Job, money earning, earning money, wealth, and maintaining this, maintaining that, all obligations to others. Who wants all this? So, when you come to that realization deep down inside, and added to that all the problems of this body itself, what it creates in us, If we get freedom from all that, that is the only solution. If you come to that realization, Krishna is saying that adhyavasayam is the best. And at that time you can see there that outside all these things, what's going on in this life, there is another truth that is beyond all these things existing inside. And that truth is what Krishna calls it as Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. All three different names given to it, to that one truth. What is that truth? Truth is this, that outside this body, outside the mind, outside this world, without being connected with any of these things, there is some other reality which is operating inside me, which is controlling my life and keeping me going. And I am in that channel at the moment. And it is going on and it's going to come to an end. At some point in life, when we come to this understanding that no other thing is important in this life, followers, money, fame, name, or position or fame, all these things have become totally insignificant. But you have become more conscious of what is going to happen after leaving this body. Where am I going? This question from inside, Antaryami's help will come. Antaryami will prompt from inside. That is the truth. And that is when you become closer to the truth. So that is why he says here, That truth, what you are getting closer to, that is what is addressed as Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. The three names is spoken. And that truth is the Antaryami, and that truth is the nature of that truth is Anandam, eternal blissful and knowledge. So we'll stop there for a short break and we'll continue after that.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam nidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrudaswadanam sarvapna subanam varam vijayve shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagai bhukuda nija sarva shakti tatrachida nimida smaranena kalam eda adrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamavi ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനിഗാഹം തൃണാരഭിഷുണീചേന തരോഹി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നജനം നസുന്ദരീം കവിതാംബാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാത് ഭക്തിരഹൈ ലുഹി ത്വയി അയി നന്ദനനുജകിങ്കരം പതിതാമം ഷമേ ഭവാംബുദോ कृपया तव पाद पंकज स्थित दूली सदृश चिंतया नयन गलद शुधारयादया गिरा पुलगयचित कदावोतवन्ना ग्रहणे भविष्य युगायुधम निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशाइनम शून्यायुधम जगल सर्व गोविंद विरहेण मे आश्लिष्य वादरदा विनष्टुमा अदर्शना मर्महदा करोतु യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദതാ ദുലംബനോ മത്പ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേവനാപരാ. സോ So Krishna says, Nishchayam Shrunume Tatra, in that verse, Tyage Bharata Sattama, Tyagohi Purusha Vyakra Trivida Sampragirtida. So that three kinds of sannyasam come from three different kinds of renunciation based on the three different modes. So sannyasam will happen like this, in three different modes, from three different modes, it will happen in three different ways, isn't it? So that's what we are discussing. But proper sannyasam, if it has happened to a person, that person's sannyasam will be based on this knowledge of the self and realization of the self. That sannyasam is satyagam, Whereas the other two sannyasams, which has happened in rajasam and tamasam, will have its own problems. That he has spoken, Krishna has spoken that, isn't it? So what is important here is that in life, our own life,
at some point in time, we will see, we will ourselves, we will recognize within inside the futility of everything, what we are doing here, isn't it? And a hopeless situation, that's nothing you can do here. You can't rectify this world. You can't rectify this body. So to expect perfection in any of these things is out of question. It's not going to happen. The world is not going to change. In fact, with our correction and our effort, it gets worse. It's going the opposite way, isn't it? So to put faith in all these things, it's called illusion. To put faith in this world, thinking that this world will get better tomorrow, is nothing but illusion. To put faith in this world, body, thinking that the body is going to be alright, it's not going to happen. It's another illusion. Same thing, anything else if you take, the same. That is why Krishna is saying there, that word adhyavasayam. Adhyavasayam means that your conclusions and the judgment has come to this one important point of realizing the self or who is inside as the Atma. And that is the one who is going to give you perfection. The world is not going to give you perfection. The body is not going to give you perfection. But it is that vastu inside. Bhagavatam calls it as vastu. You know that in the first verse itself. Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam. That vastu inside. Tavatrayon mulanam. So that vastu will tell you one day that all these efforts in this world to make this perfect, that perfect, is not going to work. But to come to that understanding, you got to go through it for a while. Before, some people are fortunate, they early realize it. Those who have realized early, they are the fortunate ones. But some people, they don't realize it even at 80, it doesn't happen to them. So that's their misfortune. What can you say? But one way or the other, the only thing to realize here is this, that there's nothing you can do about this world is concerned, there's nothing you can do about this body is concerned. Body is concerned. And if you are with any of these desires behind to acquire wealth or acquire name and fame or followers or any such thing, and with that if that is the decision inside which is motivating one to take to sannyasa ashram, Krishna is saying that is rajasam or tamasam. And that will not give you perfection. Because sannyasam is supposed to give you perfection. Otherwise, what's the point in taking? It is the last stage in the spiritual life, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying here that Atmaswarupam, the knowledge of the self. So, after reaching that state, then you don't want to know anything anymore after that. That means you have reached the final state. And once you have reached that state, there is nowhere else you want to go anymore. This is all the conditions attached to that. After reaching that state of consciousness where you don't want to acquire any more knowledge, no more further desire for cultivation of knowledge. Because normally we always have this desire, inquisitiveness inside, to know more, to understand better, isn't it? But once this situation has happened, Krishna is saying that there won't be any more inquiry after that. Inquiry comes to a stop, number one. Number two, after reaching that state, you know very well that there is nowhere to go to travel to anywhere. Just like now we have this understanding that I have to go somewhere else to become perfect later on. But that's all after death. That is not given importance here. Here the importance is, right in this body, if you have reached that state, then you know that there is nowhere else to go to. And similarly, after getting that, you will not ask for anything else anymore. No more asking for anything else. So that is why that state or that position where you get there, Krishna mentions in the 6th chapter. Yam labdhva chabaram lapam manyade nadhiyam tada yasmin sthitoina dukhena gurunapi vijalyade tam vidya dukkha samyogam viyogam yoga samhitam. That famous words in the 6th chapter. Krishna is saying, yam labdhva chabaram lapam manyade nadhiyam tada. After getting that, you won't ask for anything else. Manyade nadhiyam tada yasmin sthitoina dukhena Guru Nabi Vijayade. And if you are situated there in that state, even the greatest distress that comes in this world, it will not upset you. You are fixed there. Yasmin Stidona Dukena Guru Nabi Vijayade. Tam Vidya Dukkha Samyoga Vyogam Yoga Samyidam.
that freedom from that dukkham, distress from that, from all distresses, dukkha samyoga viyogam, it will not even cause any problems if samyogam happens. Samyoga means you join together with somebody, or viyogam happens, if separation happens from somebody. Normally, anyone in this world, if you are having some attachment somewhere, that viyogam will create some distress, for some time at least. It may go after a while, but for a short period of time, that will be a little bit on the mind, isn't it? That in family situations and all, it can happen, husband-wife relationship, parents-children relationship, children-parents, those relationship, all these relationships in this world, it does put some distress and then they go when it happens. What Krishna is saying here, tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yogasam inam, he is saying, in a person who has reached that state, this coming and going won't cause any problem for him. That means it's gone beyond the body, isn't it? So, Krishna has already spoken about the symptom of a sannyasi in that sixth chapter. These are all symptoms of sannyasam, isn't it? So, wherever you are, and whatever distress comes in life, yasmin sthitovana dukhena gurunabhi vijayalyade tam vidya dukkha samyogam viyogam yoga satmidam. Krishna is saying, so, in order to that to happen, that Krishna says, that tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam. First of all, we have to cut off all our connections with distress. With the distress, whatever connection we have to cut that off, and that is called yogam, Krishna saying. Yogam means able to cut off all connections with the distress. Not the other way, that for example, for a short period of time, I've closed my eyes. I stayed in meditation. And after a while, when I woke up from the meditation, I lost it again. And similarly, you can see this in spiritual life. People say sometimes like this, that I feel very ecstatic now after a nice kirtan or bhajan or Bhagavatam listening. Sometimes people feel some ecstasy or some kind of realization that I'm happy. Some sattugunam has come inside and you felt happy. After a while, you lose that. Krishna is saying that if you are losing it, that's not real, what you got. Real thing, Krishna says, if you have got it, it will stay. If you are losing it, you haven't got the real thing yet. That's what important point. Because what's the point in getting something for a short period of time? And again, suppose tomorrow some problems comes in life. Problems, distress comes in life. And again, if you are getting upset, then what's the point? What you have got, isn't it? So, if it is not becoming a solution to all these problems, Krishna is saying here that they compare it like this in the Shastram. Just like, ganja. If you take ganja, you feel for some time they call it a sort of a trip, isn't it? You feel good for some time. But once the effect of the ganja is gone, the thing has come back to normal again, back to the misery again, misery of life, just come back. So similarly, this ecstasy, what you are experiencing in the spiritual life is like that. It doesn't mean anything more than that. It's something similar to that. The real one, what Krishna is saying here, is that thing which has come and which stays. If it's going, it's not right. It's not right. So this yogam, Krishna is saying, tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga satnidam, is that thing which completely cuts off distress once for all. You are established in that state and you don't fall again from that. If you're losing that, that's why Krishna never uses the word ecstasy in the Bhagavad Gita. Mostly he uses the word shanti, isn't it? Shanti is the word Krishna has used everywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. Shanti has been spoken very strongly. So that is why that yoga, keeping that in the perspective, Krishna is speaking here, keeping this understanding in the perspective, not based on a temporary ecstatic feeling, or sometimes we say, I felt very blissful, we say, after a nice feast, prasadam, and a nice kirtan, I felt blissful. But that bliss is not staying very long. As soon as you get sick with your stomach, after eating all the prasadam, or after a while, as soon as you go out and start your harem, the bliss is gone. So that is not the bliss Krishna is talking about. This is what Krishna is saying. This yoga state is such. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yogasam idam, he is saying. This yogam is, with all the dukkham that comes in the world, it's coming and going, is not upsetting him. He is able to remain in that steady state, isn't it? So, therefore, Krishna said, first of all, yatyam, dhanam, tapasya, three things. He spoke about that, and these three things are necessary, Krishna says, to purify a person. And all these things Krishna has spoken in the last chapter also. And here, Krishna is mentioning only the center point of all those things, of this yatyam, dhanam, tapasya. And he mentions there never to give up any of those things. Because anything what you are doing good in life, even if something good what we are doing, that should never be given up. And that means yatyam dhanam tapasya. People are capable of doing that, they should do that. Yatyam dhanam tapasya. Those three things what we discussed in the last chapter. And similarly, any spiritual activity what we are doing should never be given up. Any spiritual activity. And what we have to do is our approach in the spiritual life has to change. Things should not be given up. For example, chanting, deity worship, or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or satsangam. All these things should never be given up. But our approach towards that has to change. That is where correction is required. So that is what Krishna is going to talk about now. That bhava. Bhava means the mood in which you are doing that. So that is what Krishna has spoken in those two verses also. In the fifth and the sixth verse, if you look, you will see there. He said in the fifth verse, Yatnya dana tapak karmam na tyajyam karyam manishinam. The first thing, fifth verse. And in the sixth verse, Edanya vidu karmani sangam tektua bhalani cha kartavya nitime partha nishchitam madamuttamam. So those two verses is pointing out to us that whatever you do should not be given up. Yatyam, dhanam, tamasya, all the three, those who are capable of doing that should do it. And because that purifies a person. Similarly, Krishna also said that secondly, he says there, it should never be given up, but at the same time, the center of all that thing is that how you are doing that, in what mood, what's your state of mind at that time when you are doing that. And that bhavam has to be, that approach has to be corrected. And therefore he mentioned those two verses. The fifth verse talks about not to give it up because it purifies a person. And the sixth verse says, Krishna says, if the way you do it should be is important. Sangam tektva bhalanicha. First of all, no attachment to it and no expectation of results. If you do it like that, yatyam dhanam tapasya will purify a person. Kartavyani dime partha. Knowing very well that it must be done. In that understanding, if it's done, he says, Nishchidam matam uttamam, it will purify that person. Those two verses, Krishna has spoken in that way. So, what do we conclude from that? The conclusion is this, that he says, Nishchidam matam uttamam. Nishchidam matam uttamam means, this is my conclusion, Krishna says. So, the best matam, the best decision is that to live in this world without attachment to anything. Not to have any attachment anywhere. In other words, to know that there is nothing you want to gain from this world. Because ultimately you are not gaining anything here, isn't it? Even if you have made a lot of money or if you have made a lot of followers, when your death comes, that's all gone with that. Isn't it? So, therefore, to know that there is no point in getting attached to anything here. Either to the world or to the friends or to the society or to one's own body even to live in this world in that way without any attachment, because that is what Krishna is saying to us. Sangam tetva bhalanija kartavya nidime partha, he says. That is the final conclusions on that. The judge giving the decision I mentioned before. All other verse, previous verses were opinion of the advocates, and now the judge is saying this is how you should be. Sangam tektva bhalanija kartavya nidime partha nishchidam matam uttamam, he says here. They give the example like this, that the boat which is lying in the water, boat can lie in the water, but water should not get inside the boat. Boat can stay in the water, but water should not get into the boat. Similarly, Everybody has to live in this world. The liberated person also, he is also living in this world, like us, isn't it? So, but what is the difference? As far as he is concerned, he is not attached to anything. Whereas we are attached to everything. That's the only difference. He is not attached to anything, we are attached to everything. But in the eyes of others, the world still exists. Yes, it does exist, isn't it? So, when so long as you have this body, so long as you have this mind, so long as there is material nature, prakriti, when as long as they are there, and when we are within that, we have to learn not to be attached to material nature, not to be attached to the body, or to be attached to the mind. That means without any sangam. That is that word sangam Krishna is talking about. Sangam tektva bhala anicha, he says. Sangam tektva. Sangam tektva means, like the way they say, that like the water in the lotus leaf. That consciousness has to build up inside. So, that means even while living here, not expecting anything from this world. That I don't need anything from this world. That renunciation inside. That state, nothing I have to get here. So, that is what the important principle in this sannyasam. That means, Krishna is saying here, you are not beggars outside. We are not going outside as beggars, begging for something. But inside you are beggars. We are all beggars inside. Why? We have desires. So that means inside we are beggars, outside we are not beggars. We are not beggars, isn't it? So, a beggar outside, for example, he is asking, begging for money. You give him a 50 pence. But we are a much bigger beggar than him. Because he is satisfied if you give him a 50p. If we get even 50 million, we are not happy. Because when we go to Krishna with our plans, Krishna is looking at us and says, these beggars are the biggest problem, like us, who come with so many desires and asking from Krishna for help. So that man in the street who is asking for 50p and who is satisfied with 50p if you give him that, he is not as bad as we who go to Krishna and asking for more, more, more every time, isn't it? So who is Krishna's point is that we are the worst ones, worst case, with bigger begging bowl. We have a bigger begging bowl than the other man in the street, isn't it? So, the only difference is between us and him is that he is simple and he has got a begging bowl in his hand. We don't have a begging bowl, but it's all in the mind, stored up inside, isn't it? But both have got the begging bowls. If our begging bowl is our mind, their begging bowl is the bowl what they have got. So, first thing is to come to this understanding that this bhikshapatram, that means this begging bowl we have got, but we are not asking anything. To come to that state, and whatever Krishna gives us, happiness or distress, no complaint from inside, not expecting any results, and at the same time, no attachment anywhere, no sangam. So, in that way, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you do all your yajnam, all your dhanam, all your tapas. Yajna dhanam tapas. Because he mentioned the last words. Yajna dhanam tapas chaiva. He says there, tatyajam karyam eva. It should never be given up, but it should be done in this understanding, in this spirit. Because as long as we have this body, body will demand some things. Body will ask for food, isn't it? Body will ask for a place to lie down, to rest. Body will ask for some medicine when it is having some difficulties. And therefore, yoga state is not just to sit in one place, like the tamarind. When it's bunched, it takes like sits there like that without any movement. That's not yoga state, but it has to work. It has to work in this world. And therefore, for that purpose, you have to use the hands and legs to maintain this body. So that is Krishna has spoken that. Which chapter? In the fifth chapter. If you look there, you will see that you can't come out of all these things. That's the point Krishna is making. If you look at that fifth chapter, Krishna mentions this, that don't try to escape from this, he said.
Look at that, 11th verse in the 5th chapter.
Kayena manasa buddhya kevaler indriye ravi yoginam karma kurvandi sangam tektualpa shuddhaye.
Isn't it? See that?
Kayena manasa buddhya kevaler indriye ravi yoginam karma kurvanti sangam tektualpa shuddhaye.
He says the yogi is abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence and even with the senses only for the purpose of purification. Just for purification purposes. They have to act like that. Now, you must not think that this is only for one process yoga system. Whether you are in the Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, Yoga Margam, Karma Margam, this rule applies. This is not exclusively for one group of people. This applies. Even whether through Bhakti process or Jnanam process, principle won't change. Principle remains the same. And this is a principle for the self-realization. That yogi is abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification. To purification. So that's a way how to understand that Krishna is saying here, that some work we have to do in this world, whatever work that is coming, but no connection with anything. Work is not disturbing the person. That Sangam tektva bhalanija, Krishna is saying. That is where importance is. Sangam tektva bhalanija, Krishna is saying. Sangam tektva bhalanija, kartavya niti me partha. So, kartavyam executed, sangam tektva bhalanija. No attachment to the work what you are doing, and no attachment to the results either. Sangam tektva bhalanija, kartavya niti me partha. So, whatever work comes through us in life, take it and do it, but no concern about it. It's only in the eyes of the society, this job is big, this job is small, this job is important, this job is not important. Society will make up. But what has it got to do with self-realization? It's nothing to do with self-realization. That is why that example I was mentioning, that with the Maharashtrian saints, if you look, all of them came from different categories. One was a potter, one was a gardener, one was a scavenger. One was a shop owner, shopkeeper. One was a weaver who used to weave the clothes. Like this, this happened in Maharashtra at that particular period in time, just after, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, when bhakti process was so prominent in Maharashtra at that time. So many great personalities appear, and the difference in them was that, unlike all others, they appeared in different fields of life, in different families, and all of them became great devotees. All of them became great devotees. And all of them have followed this principle. They didn't bother them at all. Namadev, Yaneshwar, Tukaram, Goraknath, so many listed there, Gokumbharam, and all many personalities, if you lose that, they all had different work to do in this world. according to their prarabdham, whatever they had to do, they did that. But even though they did all that, their spiritual life was perfect. They stayed only far from the soul. So a person who has come to that state, he won't bother too much what goes on in this world. It's not important for him anymore. It is for us who care all these things, importance in the position in the society. Even when you come to spiritual life, we want to make sure that we have a position there. Otherwise, you get worried about it. My position is threatened. So once it so happened that in the Maharshi's ashram, this same issue came up. One person came up to Ramana Maharshi and told him that that I've come here to stay, to engage in meditation, he told Maharshi. But I want a room permanently here. But the management is telling me I can't have a room here, he said. So Maharshi told him, I also don't have a room. What it is that I do some service here. So they let me stay here. He gets up in the morning. First thing what he does, he goes to kitchen and start cutting the vegetables because nobody likes that job. So he said, I'll do that work. And sitting there in the kitchen from 5 to 7, he cuts the vegetables for cooking for all the people. He says, because I do this service, they let me stay here. He's saying this. So that is it. Their attitude is like that. They don't consider this as I have to do something because I'm taking something from the ashram.
Otherwise, he was least bothered what the ashram goes on there. So, and he said that also, that he said, people come here, they say they want to see me. I said, yes, I am available, I am sitting here, you can look at me as much as you want. He said, so he is taking that also as a kind of service. That people want it, I am doing this, I am sitting here, and they ask me something, I tell them what I understand. So, so he says here, even giving darshanam to others, he says it's a job. That's how he is treating that. He's looking at it that way. Because for him, the importance is not all these things. His importance is that to stay in that spiritual state all the time, to be absorbed in the platform of the soul, freed from the body. But people come, ask questions, so have to be answered somehow or the other. Isn't it? So and he said that the management of the ashram is deciding this time is darshan time. So I say, I go and sit there, he said. Because it's a, they have decided like that. Similarly, this happened all the time. You know, ashrams develop around a person. Not a person comes and starts an ashram. That's not how it happens. It happens, it builds up around a person. And that person is properly situated, it will be of some benefit to others who comes to see him. So he said he goes to the kitchen in the morning, cuts the vegetables, and he works very hard. So in one instance, one of his close associates, Vishwanath Swami, who was, what was his name, this Vishwanath noticed that while cutting the vegetables, in them days, you don't have the knives like today. Today you got fantastic knives, isn't it, to cut the vegetables. And most of the housewives, if you look at their hands, there is no mark in their hands anywhere. They're also clean, nicely polished and kept so beautiful hands. But if you look at some older ladies who are 18, 90 years old, who in their younger age, they have to work hard in the kitchen. If you look everywhere, there will be cuts in their hands. Because the knives were like that and there was no good cutting equipment them days. Today you've got everything, isn't it? Machinery. So Maharshi's time was, there were no good knives. And most of the knives that you could buy in the market were very, very poor quality. And that he has to rub it and sharpen it a lot before he cuts the vegetable, because it won't cut otherwise. So in that process, while cutting once, it so happened he cut his finger badly. And the blood starts coming out from there. So Vishwanath went up to him, Vishwanath Swami goes up to him and says to him, that give me that knife, don't do it anymore. Blood was coming out from there. So he says to Vishwanath, Maharshi says to Vishwanath, Vishwanath, listen to me. He said, before all this came up, I was a happier person. I used to go out with my bowl and ask at two or three houses to give me some food. They'll give me some dal, some rice and some fruits or something. Whatever, when I look into the bowl and say there is enough for me, I'll come home. I don't have to answer anybody. But now you have built this ashram and all this system you have brought in and people are feeling, I should not cut my hand. Where does it say, he said, I should not cut my hand. He said, so he got so upset. So do one thing, he said, if you are so forceful about this, you take the knife, you do the vegetables, and you give me all your clothes, I'll wash them, he says to him. This is what his approach is. This is how he's seeing things. He says, give me all your clothes, I'll wash them. He says, I'll do all the clothes washing for everybody who is staying here. So, now that you have built this ashram, I have to do some work because you are giving me food. Because in the name of ashram, you are feeding me. So, I have to do some work for that. So, that was his answer. So we are thinking that adhyatma means spirituality means it's a social service. It's not a social service. Spiritual life is not a social service. What it means is that some people take it like that, but not doing anything, isn't it? So, but there is a place somewhere in between. Not doing anything and doing everything. That means to accept that Krishna has put me in this situation. To maintain the body, I have to do something. Nothing more than that. No more importance to that. And equally important is not to pull out all the karma in this world and put it on your own head and suffer from that. That's another danger. There are certain things which you will know yourself that destiny is putting you through that. And you have to accept it that way. And it will come and stand in front of you. In life, if you observe carefully, you'll notice that it will come and stand in front of you. So, Krishna is saying to him, Arjuna, to Arjuna also he says, and suppose you tell me, he says to Arjuna, that I won't do anything,
You are not going to escape from this. You will be forced to do the things what has come in front of you. And this war was like that. Mahabharata war was like that. Look at the way how things developed. And the war developed. The situation between the Kauravas and Pandavas got so bad. And finally it ended up in the war. Is it not? So that is what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Arjuna, the situation will develop in such a way. And the karma, what you have to do, will come and stand in front of you. And you will be forced to act. You won't be able to escape from that. That is called a niyati. This is called a niyati. So that word niyati is important there. You see that word? Krishna has used the word niyati. Niyati means this. That due to prarabdham and due to our vasana inside, material nature is forced to put things in such a way that you will be put on the spot and forced to do it. You won't be able to escape from that. That is niyati. That you will know it when it comes. All other karma in this world, what out of our greed or out of our desires, what we pull out from this world and throw it on our own head, that Krishna says, give it up. Don't do that. That is dangerous. That's damaging. But that karma that has come, it has to be done. It has come as a part of your package in this body. That has to be done. That is what he's saying there. Niyatasyadu. See that words? That's an important words because people don't look at that way. Niyatasyadu sanyasam. Karmano noba vadyade. Mohal tamasya parityagam tamasya parikritida. If it is niyati and if it has come in front of you and if you give it up, that is tamasa tyagam and that is tamasa sannyasam. That is indicating. Niyati. Niyati is the right word. You can call it as destiny or fate or whichever way you want to understand. But what that means is this. Niyati. Niyati. So that is not proper. That's what Krishna is saying. Giving up that is not proper. And it is not possible, he says, to give up that. It's not possible. Because he says here that Niyadastadu Karmano Nopapadyade, he says. See that here? Karmano Nopapadyade. What does that mean? That Arjuna, it won't work. If you give up that, it won't work. What he says is, it's not possible to give up that karma. It's not possible. Na ubalabhyade mohal parityagaha. It says that. Na ubalabhyade mohal parityagaha. Mentions in that bhashyam on that. It says, na ubalabhyade mohal parityagaha. Na ubalabhyade mohal parityagaha. So, mohal ajnana niyatasya parityagaha. So, suppose due to ajnana means avidya, ignorance, if you decide not to do it anything, then it is tamasa parigirtida. He says it is tamasam. Because if you do that, what will happen is, if there is a karma that has to be done with this body, and if it has come in front of you, and at that time if you don't do it, then there is a flow of energy in the body going in that direction to do that. That will get blocked. That energy will plus block. Then that will turn out into many mental problems. It will create problems inside the mind. Because what has to be done through this body, you are not allowing the body to do it. And that will happen that, and if you allow that to happen, that Krishna, what Krishna is saying here, it is niyata karma. Niyata karma. And that should be performed within the framework of dharma. Within the framework of dharma. Krishna is mentioning certain things to us which normally is never taken seriously in this world. Isn't it? First of all, karma itself, most of the people don't give much importance to it. All what it is we come to this world with a lot of desires and then we go flat out to make money. To do anything and everything to make money and to become happy that way. That's the current principle in the world, isn't it? Go flat out to do anything and everything to make money and to live, become happy. This is the fundamental principle on which the world functions. But that is not favorable for spiritual life. That is damaging. It is detrimental to us. So therefore, the karma aspect of it, Krishna is warning us, if these things are not there in our approach in life, then spiritual progress is not possible. It won't happen. It will simply, you'll be flogging a dead horse, it is. It's nothing will happen. That is why he's saying here. Na ubalabhyade mohal paritya. So there, it can develop into so many other problems, mental problems, because that karma that has meant to get released through that body didn't happen. Therefore, and that is where Krishna is saying here, that when that niyati happens, that karma which is niyati, it should be executed within the framework of dharma, and there should be no sangam there, no attachment there. In other words, bhalecha, desiring for the results, or kartatvam, I am the doer, should not happen there. So, we will continue with this tomorrow and day after, and see how far we get. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Atma Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.